This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network, which includes the Erotica Podcast, Erotica Sci-Fi and Fantasy, Erotica Loving Wives, the Spotify podcast Erotica Taboo, and the E.P. and Non-Erotic Podcast. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes. Links for everything are in the podcast description. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Requital Part 2 by Longhorn 07. Chapter 6. Anger and depression were parts of Steve's everyday routine now. He took a sleeping pill to get to sleep and drank coffee by the gallon to wake up. His doctor had prescribed an antidepressant for him, but it made him feel jumpy, so he'd quit taking it. Aside from Barbara's adultery itself, two things bothered him most of all. First, Barbara kept equating the pain she felt over having been kicked out of her home and having to face her infidelity with the deep anguish he felt at her betrayal. Second, every time he turned around, someone was telling him he was overreacting. He'd had it with people who couldn't understand how he felt and had given up trying to explain. He was still irritated, though. It had been a rough weekend. His brother John had called and they'd gone to a sports bar to watch the UT game on Saturday. The Longhorns had won, but had done so in such a haphazard fashion there'd been no satisfaction in it for Steve. Dinner at John's house had been good on Sunday, except for the obvious affection between John and his wife. When Sandy had come up behind John and massaged his neck for a long moment, Steve had had to look away to conceal the tears. He'd had to make his excuses and leave early. Now, the Monday night football game between the Cowboys and Seattle wasn't looking so good. The boys were hanging on to a 2-point lead and seemingly were trying to give it away as quickly as they could. The game wasn't holding his interest. He knew he was obsessing about the pain Barbara said she was feeling and how she understood his, but he couldn't shake it. He knew he'd overstated the empathy he felt for his friend's heartache after she was raped. In truth, he knew he'd said it exactly backwards. He understood only a little of Debbie's hurt, but Debbie would have understood the empty place in his heart. It wasn't getting any better either. He wondered how he could show Barbara how trivial her pain was. He wanted to make it very clear to her, but he couldn't think of a way to do it. It woke him up at night and made him stare into space at odd moments during the daytime when he should have been doing something else. As Dallas lost a third fumble to the green-clad Seattle team, opportunity knocked at his door. More correctly, opportunity and temptation. "Hi, baby," she said cheerfully. "You glad to see me?" "Sure, Kimberly, how are you?" Steve stuttered. His young sister-in-law was among the group of people he'd least expected to find on his porch tonight. "Great," the 18-year-old girl said happily. Steve thought it probably was an accurate description of exactly how she felt about herself. The girl generally bubbled over with enthusiasm about everything and everyone she came in contact. She'd been voted most friendly in every year of high school and had been the only unanimous pick as a cheerleader each of those years too. Students and faculty alike had enjoyed being around her, and she'd always had a poorly disguised entourage following her around wherever she went. Steve had thought her pretty and vivacious, with a sparkling personality that just wouldn't quit. Somehow, and recently, she'd turned into a sexy young woman too. There was something sensual smoldering deep in her eyes. The way she looked up at him was exciting on a level he'd never considered in connection with her before. The discovery dismayed him, even as he reacted to her. Worse, he was sure she could tell. He was certain she sensed the heat in his groin at the same instant he felt it.
"Aren't you going to invite me in?"
she asked, grinning up at him. Flustered again, Steve held the screen door open and made welcoming noises as he ushered her inside. The girl strutted into the foyer, shrugging off her raincoat and handing it to him as she passed. Wordlessly, Steve turned and hung it on the coat rack. A girlish giggle trailed behind her as she walked into the living room without him. When he caught up with her, she was looking out the window at the rain slanting down even harder than it had been only a few moments before. When she saw he was watching, she turned and smiled at him. Casually, she walked up to him and threw her arms around his neck. Steve stumbled back a couple of steps, but the girl followed him, finally standing on tiptoe and pulling his head down to hers. She kissed him lustily, her tongue flicking at his. She ground her belly against his. Startled again, Steve fought off a quick reaction to Kimberly's boldness, but he wasn't completely successful. Abruptly, the young woman released him and stepped back to sit gracefully on the couch.
"When are you going to get divorced from my bitch of a sister?"
she asked bluntly. Steve could only stare at her for a moment.
Well, it looks like it's going to be another few months," he said at last.
"Barbara's attorney filed a new motion for a continuance last week," he said lamely. Steve was uncomfortable with discussing it with Barbara's sister, and even more uncomfortable with the way Kim had referred to Barbara. It didn't seem right. It was out of character. The girl smiled at him.
"Don't you remember?"
she asked softly.
"At the barbecue that time when I told you I was going to make you like me better than her?"
Steve did remember. It had been just before he and Barbara had gotten married. Kimberly had been a bubbly little 12-year-old who'd attached herself to him nearly from the moment he'd arrived. It had irritated Barbara at the time.
Startled, Steve had to convince his fiancée he had no thought in his mind except being nice to his future sister-in-law. It had taken a while to mollify Barbara. Today, Kim was an attractive, exciting young woman. As Steve studied her, he became aware once more of the stirring in his groin he'd felt earlier. Where Barbara was tall, her sister was only 5 feet and a couple of inches in height. Where his wife was slim and willowy, Kimberly was earthy and robust. Barbara wore a B-cup bra. He was willing to bet Kim's breasts would be uncomfortable confined in a C-cup. Kim's body was more substantial than Barbara's. It had to be to support her larger breasts. Her thighs and calves were more meaty than his wife's slender ones. They were no less curvaceous than Barb's, just more substantial. As he told her when she fretted about her thighs when she turned 16, the less Kim wore, the better she looked. In short shorts or a skimpy bikini, Kimberly was a striking young woman. Covered from head to toe, there was an impression she was far stockier than she actually was. It had been a moment he made sure was never repeated. Kim had glowed from an inner warmth the rest of the afternoon, and stayed close to him the rest of that afternoon. She did the same thing the next time he came over. He tried to discourage her. He hadn't wanted to send the wrong message. He'd thought only to reassure an insecure teenager.
"I remember," Steve said at length.
He smiled to diffuse the building tension.
"You were a gangly little 12-year-old girl who sassed every adult in sight and made goo-goo eyes at all the boys."
Kim stuck out her tongue at him, and he laughed delightedly. He couldn't remember the last time he'd laughed out loud. When the young woman patted the couch beside her, he became aware he'd been standing and gawking at her all this time. He strode to the couch and let her drag him down to a seat close to her. They spent the rest of the evening talking about nothing in particular, laughing at remembered encounters at her parents' house. They made fun of the announcers working the football game on TV. Kim said Steve knew more about football than they did. Kimberly reached out and took his hand in hers at some point, and Steve didn't bother to retrieve it. He enjoyed each moment as it came and ruthlessly swept all his misgivings aside. It had been too long since he'd had any pleasure at all. When the end of the football game came, he reconsidered what he was doing and began maneuvering his sister-in-law toward the door. She was so young, barely out of high school. He was 27 and involved in a hard-fought divorce with her sister. Kimberly didn't really want to leave. He saw a willingness in her eyes to stay and prove her maturity all night long, but he fought the urge to let her. It just wasn't right. He made her promise to call when she got home. He was worried about her traveling about in the heavy rain. When she called, he kept the conversation short, though she'd have gone on all night if he'd given her an opening. Steve slept well that night and awakened with an appetite he'd thought gone forever.
"Hi, sugar, how are you doing?"
"Just fine, Elaine," Steve responded.
"How about you?"
"Good, good,"
she said with a gentle smile. The tall, slender blonde gave Steve a quick peck on the cheek and a chaste hug before sitting down on the other side of the table.
"So, how goes the war with the wayward spouse?"
Steve asked tentatively. He and the wife of the man Barbara had had an affair with had gotten into the habit of meeting every so often to compare notes. Steve no longer cared if Rafe and Barbara were still in contact, but Elaine did. She was trying to put her marriage back together, primarily for the sake of her young daughter. Steve had been surprised at how close a friendship they'd developed. They were both careful to keep everything platonic. Elaine had a lot to lose if things got out of hand.
"Pretty well,"
she answered, looking through the menu without much hope. She wanted some new and exciting entree listing to jump out at her and capture her interest.
"Doofus hasn't tried to make a call to Barbie doll for a good 2 months now,"
Elaine said casually.
"And she hasn't tried to call him or text message him or anything else either."
"You sure?"
Steve asked skeptically.
"Pretty much,"
Elaine answered confidently.
"I've got all his passwords for the home email accounts. He shows me his cell phone every night when he gets home, and I cross-check with the online billings to make sure there aren't any strange phone numbers showing up. I get home before he does and check the mailbox, so there's nothing coming in there either. I even got the information management guy at Doofus's work to agree to show me all the incoming and outgoing emails there."
She glanced up at Steve with a twinkle in her eye.
"It's cool what a $100 bill delivered in an unmarked envelope the first of every month will do for a gal, you know?"
Steve chuckled.
"You are covering all the bases, aren't you?"
he asked.
"Damn straight,"
Elaine replied briskly.
"I don't trust him any farther than I can throw him, and he's got a lot of making up to do. I told him the next time I don't know exactly where he is, who he's with, and what he's doing there, he'll get served with papers just like Barbara did. I got him scared shitless I'm going to leave, and for now, that's just fine with me."
Steve smiled, but his heart wasn't in it. Elaine's words reminded him that there was a small chance her marriage would survive. There was no chance for his.
"How's everything with you?"
Elaine asked.
"The New York cut, medium well, baked potato, no sour cream,"
she said in an aside to the waitress. She folded the menu and handed it to the young woman. The waitress looked expectantly at Steve.
"About the same for me," he said. "Except make the steak medium rare, okay?"
Their server smiled, jotted a quick note on her order pad, and walked away.
"Nothing's changed,"
Steve said, replying to Elaine's earlier question.
"Barb's attorney keeps throwing roadblocks up, wanting information on my income, demanding mediation on the division of marital assets, stuff like that. Anything and everything they can think of to stall,"
Steve said glumly.
"Pisses me off, but there's not much I can do about it.
I think I'm making my lawyer a rich woman, though," he added wryly.
Elaine chuckled at his expression.
"Yeah, I know," she said sympathetically. "How's the marriage counseling going?"
"Not,"
Steve replied tersely. Barb finally admitted to the counselor she had been involved in a sexual affair. You know that already. Well, now she's been seeing a psychologist, and I think she's filling Barbara's head with BS. So far, absolutely nothing that would tell me why the hell she decides to have emotional and physical affairs every once in a while. He took a swallow of iced tea and let an ice cube slide down his throat. Other than that, everything's fine, he said dryly. He let a sardonic grin twist his lips. Elaine reached out and patted his hand.
I know, she said understandingly. I wish all this had never happened, Steve.
Steve shrugged. Them's the breaks, he said. They were quiet for a while, waiting on the salads the waitress brought them. Strange thing happened Monday night. Steve volunteered when the salad plates had been picked up.
Yeah?
My sister-in-law dropped by for a visit, Steve said carefully. She made herself right at home, he added. Elaine giggled. Sister is staking out a claim, huh? She asked. Steve shifted uncomfortably in his seat. I'm not sure what she's doing, he admitted. She had a crush on me when she was just a kid, but I thought all that was done with.
How old is she now?
Elaine asked interestedly.
Oh, almost 19.
Steve replied uncertainly. I think her birthday's the week after Thanksgiving, he said.
I see,
Elaine said, nodding. Well, she's sure enough old enough, and it sounds to me like she hasn't forgotten about her crush on you. They talked for another 10 minutes until their meals were deposited on the tablecloth in front of them. After that, the hungry pair worked on getting the tender beef inside them. I think I should be a little jealous, Elaine announced after some time, waving her fork in the air to help her speak.
Excuse me?
Steve answered after he'd swallowed the chunk of steak he'd been chewing on. Well, if you're going to have revenge sex on Barbara, aren't you supposed to be doing me? Elaine batted her eyes at Steve. He chuckled at her pretended jealousy. Woman, I still regret the day we agreed that would be a silly thing to do, he said imperiously. 'Tis a cruel thing indeed to be bringing that up again with a man who's been doing without for lo these many months. Elaine simpered at him and batted her eyes at him, pretending to be seductive. A moment later, though, the mirth left Elaine's eyes.
Ah, she said quietly. I guess that tells me where your mind is.
Steve looked up questioningly. He realized where she was going.
Oh. No, I'm not going to be doing anything with that young lady, he protested.
Sure, Elaine replied. I believe you accept that you're a normal, fairly healthy young man. She's young and healthy too. She likes you. You like her. And you haven't gotten laid in a month of Sundays. Steve looked at her uncertainly. So, what are you going to do the next time she shows up on your doorstep and opens her raincoat to show you there's only a whole bunch of sister-in-law underneath it, huh? Elaine asked.
Well.
Steve searched for a reply, but he could not find one that adequately answered the question. He tried to tell Elaine he was still married and wouldn't have sex with anyone other than his wife, but even he didn't really buy it. The truth was his marriage was over and had been since he caught Barbara with Elaine's husband. There really wasn't that much standing in the way of him having a sexual relationship with another woman. Elaine was trying to forge a new bond, essentially a new marriage, with her husband, but Steve considered his wedding vows to have been irrevocably broken. There hadn't been a courtroom ceremony to document the dissolution of the marriage, but that was only a formality. He left the restaurant uneasy, but intrigued. His friend had been supportive. She hadn't suggested anything was wrong with a desire for long-denied sexual release, even with a young woman who would soon be his ex-sister-in-law. Elaine was no friend of his wife's. She made it clear that Steve getting it on with Barbara's sister would make sure Barbara knew, once and for all, how it felt to be cheated on. It surely would, she said. It was the tapes that did him in. When he looked at everything long afterward, he was sure that was what it was. After Kim's visit on Monday night, Steve had been edgy and horny as an old goat. It had been a phrase used by a favorite uncle that suddenly made a lot more sense to Steve. The sensation surprised him. He'd not felt sexually excited since finding his wife in another man's arms back in June. On Friday evening, without examining his motives, he dropped by an adult bookstore and come away with 3 new videos featuring, barely legal, amateur girls. If he'd stopped to think about it, he'd have known exactly why his interest was drawn toward that section in the store. The doorbell rang a few minutes after he got home. He'd barely had time to change into a comfortable pair of old jeans. He was still pulling the worn sweatshirt over his head when he opened the door. There was a loud wolf's whistle.
Hey, honey,
Kimberly told him. There's no need to cover up that bod just for little old me. Steve flushed faintly and yanked the sweatshirt down into place.
Hi, Kimberly, he greeted the girl.
Whatcha doing?
Slumming?
She smiled brilliantly.
Huh,
she replied.
I'm looking for a big hunk of a man to party with, she said seductively.
Well, I guess I could make some calls for you, Steve replied, suddenly nervous.
Some of the single guys I work with might be in the mood for dinner and a movie.
Kim laughed. She could tell Steve was half aroused, half embarrassed. She looked closer. The embarrassed half was a lot smaller than the aroused portion. She smiled a more predatory smile. A lioness can always tell when her prey is weakened and nearly ready to give up. Without asking, she swept by Steve and strolled casually through the foyer and down the short hallway to the kitchen. She sniffed dramatically.
I'm hungry,
she announced.
Whatcha gonna feed me?
Distracted and considering what he had planned for dinner, Steve couldn't dodge his sister-in-law's embrace when she moved closer. After a lengthy kiss, he no longer wanted to unwrap her arms from his neck. He forced himself to anyway. It didn't discourage Kim in the least.
Steak? Steve asked. Baked potato dot broccoli?
Kim nodded.
Sounds so good, lover.
She cooed. Steve was barely able to dodge another hug and kiss. Laughing, Kim sat on a tall barstool and watched her brother-in-law as he took another steak from the freezer and put a couple of potatoes in the microwave to
bake.
They had a good, unstrained conversation while he prepared the meal. Neither of them mentioned Barbara while the steak sizzled in the pan or later while they ate.
Whoa!
Kimberly hooted from the living room. Steve paused as he was placing the glass on the rack in the dishwasher. He wondered what had made the young girl whoop so excitedly. Abruptly, his face paled. He'd forgotten the bag of videos. He walked quickly to the living room door.
Sugar, you like porn too?
Kimberly trilled.
That's cool, she said happily.
Steve blinked. Seeing his confused look, Kim giggled.
Sweetie, I just love watching some good-looking hunks go at it with cutie pie girls. The more the merrier, huh?
She was inspecting all of the video boxes. Portrayed on the cover of one was of a number of men and women all tangled up in a group scene. Kimberly's pink tongue flicked out to lick at her lips. She looked up at him with her eyes glowing delightedly.
Come here and let's watch this one, okay?
She beckoned him to her side with a crook of her forefinger.
Please?
She coaxed. Steve cleared his throat, lost the debate with himself before it began, and took the videocassette from Kim to put in the VCR. He settled onto the couch beside his sister-in-law. Kimberly promptly closed the small distance between them. Tucking her suddenly bare feet up under her, she rested her left thigh on his right and cuddled comfortably against his body. They watched all three movies before they quit, giggling together at some of the less believable positions the porno directors had their actors and actresses get into. Steve was surprised repeatedly at Kim's knowledge. She demonstrated a thorough acquaintance with the male body and chortled as a man with a massive, but less than steel-hard cock worked himself into a woman's cunt. Kim snickered and told Steve in a confiding tone that any woman who could take a cock like that had to have a cunt that was so loose it would be like waving a, real, man's cock around in the Grand Canyon. Amazed at the young woman's words, Steve could only nod. She told him no girl she knew wanted a guy like that. It would only hurt, she said, when he tried to put that in her and there'd be no fun in having something like that inside you. Besides, Kim told him, sniffing in disdain, freaks were freaks and she only liked real things. Dicks like that were natural, in her opinion. And didn't he think girls who had boob jobs were so freaky? Boobies like that didn't even feel right, did they? His head spinning, Steve agreed with an occasional nod and a confirming grunt now and again. The feeling that Kim was the same growing young girl he teased for the past few years had been weakening since Monday's visit. Gradually, the shock at her sometimes crude language faded and disappeared after a while. The girl who felt so warm against him was a woman now, a very desirable one. When Kim turned to him, he was ready. Her lips were soft and inviting against his. They turned hot and demanding a second later. When she stood abruptly, he was nonplussed. She twisted around quickly and straddled him, but in her urgency, she came down slightly off-center and more heavily than she'd wanted. The keys in his pocket became trapped between his thigh and her pubic mound. It hurt, and she yelped. It was probably the only thing short of a tornado that could have broken the mood. Kim hiked up her skirt above her waist and pulled her panties down to examine the affected area. She was happy to find nothing, not even a red mark. Slyly, she invited Steve to explore her puffy vulva to see if he could find some hidden injury, but the damage, so to speak, had been done. Steve forced himself not to touch Kim. It was wrong and he knew it. He couldn't keep his eyes from seeing though. He couldn't look away.
Kiss it and make it better?
Kimberly cooed softly.
Please.
It was almost too much for him to take.
No.
Steve said uncertainly.
I can't, Kim, I.
Kim stared at him for a long moment. Her eyes reflected a sharp anger caused by his refusal. She wasn't used to it. She didn't like it. She looked away.
Okay, honey.
She said after a bit. The elastic band on her panty snapped back into place, and her skirt dropped to cover her crotch in less time than it takes to tell. Her arms wound around his neck once more, and their lips met in a long, steamy kiss.
Want to watch one of my porno movies tomorrow night?
Kim asked when she came up for air three kisses later.
Yeah, sure.
Steve replied belatedly. It had taken him a moment to recover from the sensuous makeout session with the young woman. Kimberly settled into his lap, wiggling her panty-clad groin against his from time to time, but didn't make any further encouraging moves to have sex with her brother-in-law. They said goodbye a half hour later. Steve was left with an empty feeling and much regret. He had to take a long shower before he could sleep. The first third of it was a cold one. He'd thought it would calm his arousal, but it didn't. Visions of Kimberly's pretty face and soft genitals kept running through his mind. The middle third of his shower was a warm one. He gave up trying to suppress his urges and jacked off twice, painting the inside of the shower curtain with spots of hot cum. The last third of the lengthy shower was a hot one to wash himself clean, with a cold chaser to cool him off again. Chapter 7 Mid-October. Saturday mornings were lazy times for Steve these days. Without Barbara around, there was no
honeydew
list to complete, and no one to take up his time. The college football games the networks had selected for broadcast today didn't interest him, though he had one playing on the TV in the background while he did a little housework. Over a grilled cheese sandwich and chips for lunch, he mulled things over. He didn't really know why he refused Kim's advances last night. Barbara had no claim upon his fidelity any longer, and Kim was willing. He doubted she was a virgin. He didn't see how she could be. From her words and actions, she'd known exactly what she wanted to do to him, and what she wanted him to do to her. So far, no one had been hurt. He didn't know what he wanted to do. Life was getting complicated. The phone rang. The extension in the kitchen didn't have a display to show the caller ID. Steve decided to answer it anyway.
Steve! How are you today?
Hello, Barbara, he said into the mouthpiece. He thought it might be Kimberly. At worst, he thought it would be his father or mother-in-law.
What can I do for you?
Well, I thought I'd call and see if you'd be okay with rescheduling next Thursday's marriage counseling to the following Monday. I've got to go to Omaha for a business meeting and...
No, I can't do that, Barb.
We're hosting a group of congressional staffers in from D.C. on a contract for a new federal building downtown. There's no way I can miss that, and it's liable to be an all-day thing. I'll be one of the escorts for them to dinner that night and well, you see how it is.
Steve answered.
Okay, ho Steve, she said. There was no trace of accusation in her voice. She accepted his refusal at face value. She hesitated. He could hear her intake of breath.
Steve, have you thought any more about?
No, he said tonelessly.
I haven't.
He didn't need to hear what she was going to ask about. The answer to everything was,
no.
Steve, I know Mr. Houston has explained it very well to me. So I know what you're feeling, Han Steve. She broke off for a moment. I'd give anything to take all this back and make everything all right, but no, Barbara, you most definitely do not know what I'm feeling. Quit saying that. It's not true and it never will be true, damn it.
Okay, I didn't mean to upset you, Barbara said hastily.
I'll just say goodbye then. Take care of yourself, all right? Steve swallowed his anger. He took a long breath and let it out.
Okay, Barbara. Talk to you later.
Bye, she answered. They hung up nearly simultaneously. He seethed for a long time after the call. Between being accused of overreacting and Barbara telling him she understood his pain, he was being driven crazy. After the anger passed, he felt himself plunge into a deeper depression than he'd ever known. Kimberly came back just before night fell. He heard the car pull into his driveway and had the door open when she trotted up onto the porch with a full supermarket's plastic bag hanging from her right hand. She threw herself into his arms, kissing him passionately.
Miss me? She demanded.
Huh? Steve teased.
Why would I miss you, young lady?
She pretended to pout. A quick hand grabbed at his half-hard cock. A squeeze gave her an answer to a question she hadn't asked. She grinned and delightedly squeezed again. Steve hastily backed away so he could pull her in and close the door. God knew which of his neighbors were watching and waiting only for an opportunity to report his indiscretions to whoever. Kimberly's enthusiastic greeting was contagious. His earlier melancholy slipped away, though the memory, and the reason for it, remained in a corner of his mind.
Where'd you go last night?
Steve asked.
Over to your mom and dad's?
Huh, lover, she responded. Mommy and daddy don't know their bright-eyed little girl is even in town. There was a tinge of bitterness in her tone Steve didn't understand. There was no time to explore it, though. Kimberly's lips were too demanding.
I went back up to Austin to my dorm room,
Kim explained later over barbecue chicken and potato salad.
You like porn, right?
Steve had to nod his agreement, though he really wasn't into porno movies that much. The evidence to the contrary had been on the coffee table in his living room last night, and Kim had found it. Nothing he could say was going to change it now.
Well, I brought us some good porno flicks to watch tonight, lover boy, she said seductively.
She got up and sat in his lap. After long minutes of deep kisses, he pushed her back gently so he could drag in some air. When the girl jumped up and pulled him to his feet, he didn't resist. He let her lead him to the living room where she sat on the sofa.
Let's watch one of my pornos now, she said eagerly.
She was flushed, excited. Already erect nipples were pushing out against the baggy sweatshirt she wore. She was nearly breathless. Steve's answer was in his eyes and Kimberly read it. She dumped the plastic bag of videocassettes onto the coffee table and bent happily to look at the labels. Selecting one, she pranced over to the entertainment center and slipped it into the VCR. She scampered back to the couch and sat beside him. She took his hand and pressed it to her crotch. She was fully aroused and fluid already soaked her pants. The video was strictly an amateur production. It sprang onto the screen without any lead-in. Loud music blared, startling both Steve and Kimberly. She made a grab for the remote control and held down the button to lower the volume. He couldn't help but answer her sexual excitement with his own, but he was hesitant. He wasn't sure he really wanted to keep getting deeper into this thing with his sister-in-law. It didn't feel right. He was put off by her fascination with the pornography, and he had a sick feeling in the pit of his stomach that the situation was spiraling out of control. He didn't know what he could do to correct things. The scene on the screen was a party. The loud music filled the living room, but the fast techno beat fit the action on the screen. There were half a dozen couples and threesomes visible around what looked like a small swimming pool. Everyone was naked save for one tall, red-haired girl who still had a blouse on but nothing else. The men's butt cheeks flexed rhythmically as they drove their cocks into eager cunts. Their pace, without exception, was fast and hard. The bodies of the girls being fucked were jolted harshly with each slamming thrust. None of the women were objecting. They seemed to welcome the hard fucking they were getting. The camera began to move to the right, and the field of view narrowed as the operator zoomed in on one threesome on an air mattress beside the pool. The girl was on her knees with one hand on the ground. Her other hand held the staff of a big cock she was enthusiastically sucking. Behind her, A skinny, younger man pistoned his dick in and out of her pussy. The girl shifted slightly, hunching back against the man taking her doggy style. Letting the prick she was sucking slide out of her mouth, she turned to give her other partner some instruction. Seeing the camera on her, she grinned cheerfully, licked her lips suggestively.
"Damn,"
Steve whispered. The girl was Kimberly. He didn't know who the men were. Kimberly giggled happily in front of him.
"Cool, huh?"
she said breathlessly. Steve stared at the screen. The woman in the orgy was not the pretty, bubbly high school cheerleader he knew. The woman up there was a hard-driving, sexual animal. Where had the innocent little girl he'd known gone? This was wrong. But .it was also exciting. Gradually, the woman being shared by two men became someone other than his sister-in-law anymore. She was just a sex object. The orgy continued in the video. The Kimberly beside the swimming pool had two more men with her now. One of the newcomers offered a plate to the girl. Holding a finger to her nose to close off one nostril, she used the other one to snort up the white powder in one of the lines on the plate. She reeled back for a moment, sitting back on her heels until she recovered from the hit. The Kimberly beside Steve began humming excitedly.
"Whenever you want to, you can have me, okay?"
Steve grunted a reply. He didn't know if he wanted to his penis inside Kim's pussy. Actually, he was certain he didn't want his dick anywhere near the girl, but he didn't know what to do. He felt sick. None of the four guys shown having sex with Kimberly in the video had been wearing a condom.
"And we can watch more movies too,"
Kimberly added absentmindedly. The despair that had clamped down on him earlier today came back full force. The depression was worse this time. He could see 9 more videocassettes on the coffee table. Considering Kimberly's excited desire to watch them, he was sure she was the star in all of the porno flicks. God knew how many men this young girl had been with. There was every chance she was infected with a variety of STDs. The gloom in his mind deepened. Detachedly, he wondered that Kimberly seemed so unaware of his mood. But then, she was still giving the TV her total attention. She was breathing hoarsely. Her hip and thigh were pressed tightly against his body. She was becoming even more excited. He could practically taste the scent of the highly aroused woman next to him. There was no way out of the morass that surrounded him. Barbara had betrayed him. She'd wanted another man. Their marriage was over. She wouldn't let him go. Barbara demanded he stay close so his pain would never go away. Her sister .pretty, unspoiled little Kimberly .was a slut for any man who wanted between her legs. And here he was with her. He wanted her. He wanted to slam his cock into her cunt from behind until she screamed her way through a dozen orgasms. He was no better than any of those other guys. She'd give him a sexually transmitted disease .he knew she would. He couldn't deal with everything hammering at him. He couldn't think. He couldn't reason. His mind switched off. There was nothing he could do to make things better. He quit trying. He stopped thinking about consequences. He refused to consider there might be any dot except one. He could think of one that would give him release from all his problems. Abruptly, Kimberly took things in her own hands. She stood up, yanked down her sweatpants, and kicked off her shoes to pull the pants down over her feet. She didn't have any panties on. She pulled Steve up beside her and dragged the cargo shorts he was wearing down over his hips without unzipping them. He was already barefoot. He had been all day. He didn't resist. He knew what was coming, and it was no longer a dilemma he had to deal with. He felt better, at peace with himself and the world for the first time in many months.
"Quick!"
Kimberly panted as she sat back down. She lay on her side, facing the TV, and pulled Steve down behind her.
"Quick, Dot, I want you and me,"
she said frantically. Steve was hard enough for penetration already. He had been since the girl on the screen had become a non-entity. She was just a fuck toy now.
"Put it in me,"
Kimberly said impatiently. Mechanically, Steve hunched closer to Kimberly's fleshy ass, and when the girl threw her ankle behind his butt to open herself up, he pushed the head of his cock between her outer lips. Her cunt was sopping wet. His penis slid deep inside her vagina in one slow push. Kimberly let out a moan of intense satisfaction. She wiggled her hips to seat Steve in her cunt more securely. She reached for the remote again and pointed it at the entertainment once more. She pushed her ass back at Steve and threw a hand behind his back to grab his ass cheek and urge him to shove his cock deeper and more strongly into her.
"Keep going,"
Kimberly groaned.
"Don't stop."
Steve began to ram his cock as deep as he could get it inside his wife's sister. She was a slut. He could see that on the video. After a few moments, his hard-on was as thick and hard as it had ever been. Kim moaned her appreciation as she continued to watch herself in the video. It didn't take long. They were too aroused.
"I'm Dot, I'm coming,"
she said in a strangled voice.
"Come inside me Dot, please, Stevie Dot, come in me,"
she begged. Steve redoubled his pace, ramming his cock deep and strongly into Kimberly's pussy. In seconds, they were both straining against each other as their orgasms washed over them. Kimberly shuddered, a look of near-painful concentration on her face. Her eyes closed for the first time since the video had started. She fell limply to the sofa cushions, making sure only that her head was on a sofa pillow and that she was facing the screen. He began fucking his sister-in-law's cunt again, slowly at first, then stabbing deeper with every thrust. His animal knee matched hers and they worked their genitals hard against each other. There was no art to it, no loving. They were two primitive beasts interested only in themselves. They fucked each other for the next few hours, taking breaks when they were too exhausted to continue. When neither could bear the touch of the other's groin against them, they rolled away from each other, slipped to the floor, and fell asleep on the deep pile carpet. Sometime in the night, Steve woke up enough to retrieve blankets from the hall closet for him and the naked girl's comfort. Kim sleepily wrapped herself in the warm covering and cuddled closer to Steve when he settled down beside her again. Steve extended his hand to his father-in-law and shook hands with him. They were still standing in the doorway. Steve looked the man in the eye, searching for something that would tell him how strong Barbara's father was. He was still a vigorous man, fit and trim. He was in good health. Steve knew Lloyd Montgomery jogged 3 miles every morning. Today was going to take a lot out of him, though. He would need every bit of strength he had to get him through it.
"Lloyd," he said by way of greeting.
"Good to see you, son. Come on in,"
Lloyd said, smiling.
"Damn glad to see you. Should we have called Barbara to get her over here?" It was Monday and Barbara was at work, but Lloyd knew she'd take the afternoon off without pay if there was a chance to meet with Steve.
"No, no,"
Steve replied. He didn't explain. He accepted a peck on the cheek from Diane. He was mildly surprised. His mother-in-law was not usually so demonstrative. He hadn't known she felt even the least affection toward him. It was sad it came too late in his relationship with her daughter.
"This doesn't have anything to do with Barbara,"
Steve remarked.
"Well, it does, but mostly it's about Kim,"
he said. Lloyd and Diane exchanged a troubled glance. They were confused.
"Can we sit down?"
Steve asked. Flustered, Diane waved him to the easy chair opposite the sofa. She and her husband sat quietly on the sofa and waited. Steve watched them somberly as he put his briefcase on the floor beside him. He opened it, but didn't take anything out. He didn't want to tell them what he had to say, but they had to know about this. They would eventually anyway. They might as well hear it from him. He took a deep breath.
"Kim,"
he said slowly,
"has gotten into some things you need to know about."
He took a deep breath.
"Kim has a bad drug habit,"
he said at last. Lloyd and Diane blinked. Lloyd cleared his throat. He and his wife absorbed what Steve had said.
"Well, we know she's experimented with pot,"
he said at last. Steve shook his head.
"Hard stuff,"
he said shortly. Lloyd and Diane digested the words slowly. Diane extended her right hand to capture her husband's left one and clamped her fingers tightly around his. They thought for a moment.
"I haven't seen any signs of it,"
Lloyd said diffidently.
"Are you sure, Steve? Are you sure you haven't seen a little something and gotten the wrong impression? Son, this is really serious stuff. We can't go off half-cocked, you know."
Steve's eyes flashed. He welcomed the anger, though he would have done nothing to provoke it if his father hadn't done it for him. What his father-in-law was telling him was just another variation of his admonition over the last few months not to overreact to Barbara's adultery. Steve reached into his briefcase and pulled out a video cassette case. Extracting the cassette, he stood and walked to the TV and put the cassette in the VCR. Turning on the television, he grabbed the remote control and went back to his seat. Glaring at his in-laws, he stabbed the button to play the videotape. They were watching him. Neither Lloyd nor Diane had even glanced at the TV. When the unmistakable moaning, groaning, and the wet sucking noises began coming from the speakers, startled expressions swept over both of their faces. When they saw what was happening on the screen, their jaws dropped in shock.
"Want to snort, Kim?"
an off-screen voice asked. The voice clearly belonged to a young girl. The image of their 18-year-old daughter on the TV let a hard cock slide out of her mouth before she answered. The camera operator zoomed out to show a young woman standing beside Kim looking up gleefully at the young woman. Kim nodded.
"Kiss my pussy first,"
the girl demanded. Kimberly obliged, enthusiastically lapping at the naked girl's pussy for a long moment. When the unknown woman was satisfied Kim had shown enough appreciation, she extended a hand mirror with 3 lines of powder already formed and sectioned. Kim accepted a straw and sniffed up half a line before stopping. Quickly switching nostrils, she took in the rest of the line and leaned back to enjoy the rush. The man standing in front of Lloyd and Diane's daughter slapped at her face with his cock. Kimberly grabbed the shaft near its base and aimed it at her mouth. She took nearly the whole length in one long swallow and began bobbing her head up and down on the delighted young man's prick. A moment later, a big black man ambled up behind her. He was playing with a cock that was hardening as he watched Kim service the other man. Noticing him behind her, Kim got up on her knees and wiggled her butt at the black guy. He dropped to his knees and adjusted himself a couple of times before beginning to insert his cock. Kim spat out the dick she was sucking and jerked her head around to scowl at the man behind her.
"Damn it, TJ, you know damn well you gotta lube me up real good before you fuck me there. My ass is too little to take a guy's cock dry the first time. Now there's the tube of KY. You get it, do me right or you'll never have my ass ever again."
Kimberly had thrown the words at the black man in a furious voice and he reacted sheepishly. He took the lubricant off the patio table beside them and carefully worked it into and around Kim's asshole for a long moment. The camera operator considerately moved around behind Kim to take the action. The black man's cock wasn't particularly big, but Kim's butthole was small. It took a while for him to work the head inside the outer ring of muscles, but after a bit, he was sliding smoothly in and out of Kimberly's ass. She'd resumed sucking the man standing in front of her. The crying from the couch opposite Steve was finally loud enough to be heard over the sounds of fucking and sucking on the video. Steve pointed the remote at the TV and VCR, shutting both off. The silence was broken only by Diane's sobs.
"Am I going off?"
half-cocked.
"Lloyd?"
Steve asked in a neutral voice. "Am I overreacting?
Again?"
Steve's father-in-law looked up with an expression of total misery on his face. It wasn't clear if he'd actually heard Steve's question or not. Certainly, he couldn't respond.
Tears were streaking down his cheeks too. Steve closed his eyes. He wished he hadn't asked such a vindictive question. It wasn't easy to see a man and woman so completely destroyed. His irritation with Lloyd's earlier words was gone.
Lloyd? Steve asked gently. Diane?
The couple was embracing now, sharing their misery and comforting each other. It was a long while before they turned back to their son-in-law.
Lloyd, Diane?
Steve began again.
I'm sorry, but you did have to see that. It was terrible for you, but there was no other way. You had to know, you had to be totally convinced that Kimberly is into hard drugs and she's getting into making porno movies at the same time.
He was quiet for a long moment. He watched as Lloyd made an effort to pull himself together.
Son, Lloyd said huskily.
I'm sorry.
You were right.
My baby has a bad drug problem and God knows why she's gone into that kind of stuff. He couldn't say the words, but all three knew what he meant. Steve took the 9 other videos from his briefcase and stacked them on the floor beside the couch. Lloyd and Diane stared at them apprehensively.
As far as I know, Steve said standing. These are the only videos Kim has made. None of them are pretty, a couple are downright disgusting, and one of them even Kim didn't want me to see. I don't know what's on that one.
He waited. There should be a question in their minds now, but neither Lloyd nor Diane asked one. They were too deep in despair. Steve shook his head. He walked toward the door.
Please, Doc, get some help for her, okay?
He threw the request in their direction while he was retreating as fast as he could. Belatedly, Lloyd got to his feet and rushed after Steve. Steve turned around on the porch to look at the older man. He seemed to have aged 10 years in the last 20 minutes. Lloyd held the screen door open and thrust out his hand to his son-in-law.
I know it doesn't sound right, Lloyd said. And I wish you never found those movies, but thanks for telling us about them. We couldn't help her until we knew about them.
Steve shook his head.
No, don't thank me, he said.
His voice was hoarse and he couldn't meet Lloyd's eyes.
Lloyd, you haven't asked, but Kimberly left these videos at my house after we watched them together.
Lloyd's eyes grew into wider. An expression of dread spread across his features.
Lloyd, Steve said slowly. Kim has stayed with me the last 2 weekends in a row. She let you believe she was staying up in Austin, but she was with me.
Lloyd shook his head, refusing to accept what his mind was telling him. Steve marched quickly to his pickup and got in. He drove away without looking back. Chapter 8 Late October Thursday Couples Counseling. He was relaxed. He felt good, for the most part. He still hated what he'd done to the Montgomerys, but there'd been a purpose to it. He'd seen the open use of hard drugs in the videos and Kim had excused herself any number of times in the 2 weekends she'd spent with him and gone to the restroom for extended periods. When she came back from one of these, she was invariably bright-eyed, flushed, and ready for sex. It didn't take a genius to figure out she had a stash inside his house and was using. After she left last Sunday, he'd found a small kit crammed behind the commode. There was only a little residue in a small baggie inside, but he took everything and threw it in the fireplace. He rarely built a fire there was almost never a good excuse for one in South Texas there was a reason that day. He knew also that Kimberly's apparent addiction to porn and making porno movies herself was dangerous. He hoped Lloyd and Diane would be able to get their daughter some help. He hoped it wasn't too late. Vern Houston didn't know the reasons for Steve's new serenity, but he was happy to see it. In recent weeks, Steve Curtis had been combative in both individual and couples counseling, and it had been getting worse. If the truth were told, Vern was about ready to throw in the towel on this pair. No technique of counseling he'd ever heard of, and none any of his colleagues could recommend, seemed to work. When Steve stepped out to sit with Mr. Houston's secretary for a moment, and bring the billing account up to date, Vern watched with slitted eyes. Suddenly, he was suspicious. He wasn't a psychologist, but he'd been at this for a long time. A distraught person who suddenly turns peaceful, and one who starts tying up loose ends. Those were warning signs sometimes. Vern licked suddenly dry lips. He needed to know more. Steve sat back down in the chair before Mr. Houston's desk. He dropped his ass in the seat every Wednesday afternoon and Thursday evening for many months. He looked around, seemingly examining every feature of the room and committing it to memory. This might be the last time he'd ever have to come here. He relished the thought. Steve lounged back in the chair, extending his legs and parking his right ankle over his left. There was a half grin on his lips. He'd almost forgotten what it was like to feel good.
I don't know how long we'll have to wait for Barbara, Mr. Houston ventured. Did she say anything to you about being late tonight?
It was already 10 minutes past the time the sessions normally began. Steve shook his head.
Nah, I haven't talked to her in a long while, Steve said. But I doubt very seriously that she'll be coming tonight, he added carelessly. I think she's convinced now that the marriage is over. I think she's seen the light, he added with a tight smile.
He stretched both legs out in front of him and crossed his hands across his belly. Both men were startled by a sudden noise in the outer office. Steve jerked his body erect in his chair. A door had been opened suddenly, allowing in a loud conversation from 2 passersby before it closed again. There was a murmur of voices, a pause, and the inner door suddenly opened. Barbara came inside and pushed the door shut. Without glancing to either side, she walked to the chair she usually occupied and sat down determinedly. Steve watched her come in and sit down. He hadn't expected her to be there. More to the point, he expected she would not show up. He stared at her in disbelief. He slowly settled back to his seat.
Sorry I'm late, Barbara said quietly. I called and made a reservation for a taxi but it still didn't come on time.
What's wrong with your car?
Steve asked. His voice was thick with shock. He hadn't intended to ask the question. It came out as if pulled.
Nothing, Barbara told him. I just thought it best to use a cab tonight.
Steve shook his head in consternation. The woman shouldn't be here. She should be so enraged by what he'd done with her sister that she would never consider being in the same room with him ever again. She shouldn't be speaking with him. It just wasn't right.
What are you doing here?
He demanded.
Why aren't you at home with my mom and dad Dot and my sister?
Barbara continued. She looked at him for the first time. Her face was blank where he wanted anger.
Yeah, Steve replied. Why are you here? Where else would I be?
Barbara returned pleasantly.
I belong with my husband, don't you think? I belong with the man I married Dot for better or for worse, right?
Steve looked away and folded himself back into the chair's cushions.
None of the other things you said that day seemed to matter to you,
he muttered. His heart wasn't in it, though. This wasn't working out the way he planned. He was surprised to see Barbara nod her head.
I screwed up big time, she said, agreeing with him. But you've paid me back for that, haven't you?
She added in a calm voice.
Now we can work this all out and get back to being husband and wife, right?
Steve was struck dumb. He literally couldn't speak. Considering the weekends he spent screwing his wife's sister, this woman should be ready to use a bullwhip on him, not speak softly about working things out. He thought the pain was over Dot, but his wife was right. Their pain was equal now, assuming she felt any. She did. He could see it. She was keeping her feelings under control, but the hurt was in her eyes, downturned mouth, and the creases on her forehead. A polite cough from behind the big desk reminded Steve and Barbara they weren't alone. Both turned to face the counselor.
May I inquire? Oh, didn't my husband tell you?
Barbara asked.
Steve spent the past couple of weekends screwing my baby sister, she said bluntly.
Steve winced. It didn't sound good coming out that way. Mr. Houston sat up in his chair. He was alarmed.
How old is your sister?
He asked Barbara.
19 next Friday, Barbara answered. 19 whole years old, she repeated.
Mr. Houston was hard put to not scowl at Steve.
Mr. Curtis, he said sternly. This is not helpful at all. We talked about revenge. Retaliation is never the answer. We agreed on that specific point, Mr. Curtis. I don't understand this at all.
She picked me, Steve protested weakly.
Not the other way around. That hardly matters, Mr. Houston, Vern continued. You're an adult, and you know quite well that you shouldn't engage in such things with young, impressionable women, and actually,
Barbara interjected.
Impressionable, and if you're implying innocent. Aren't Dot and Dot factors in what Steve did with my sister?
Mr. Houston blinked. He didn't know what to make of that.
Kimberly is addicted to cocaine and two different prescription drugs. She's also dabbled with some heroin,
Barbara continued smoothly.
And she admits to having been with 76 boys and men over the past 4 years that she can remember, and somewhere between 16 and 20 women and other girls her age.
Mr. Houston gaped at Barbara. In spite of nearly 3 decades of family counseling, he had no idea what to say next.
And Steve is right, Barbara added. She deliberately went after him. She told me she's wanted to have sex with him since she was 14 years old, and she figured this was the time.
Steve stared at his wife. He'd had no idea Kimberly had had any such desire. He'd thought it a case of puppy love.
She told me that yesterday, Barbara said in conclusion. Is she Dada? Is she Dada?
Steve said hesitantly.
Barbara nodded, understanding the unspoken question. She's in a treatment center up in Dallas, Barbara said. She's going to get clean and a lot of psychiatric counseling to figure out why she is so promiscuous, as well as getting her drug dependency taken care of.
Steve nodded. It made him feel a little better. His face brightened a little. He was getting some self-control back. That Barbara had come to the counseling session wasn't that much of a catastrophe. It didn't change the fact that he'd set up a way out of the mess he was in. Vern Houston had been thinking furiously during the married couple's exchange. A crisis in the effort to get this couple back together had arrived unannounced and unanticipated. He wasn't prepared for this, but events weren't going to wait for him to dot all the I's and cross all the T's. He cleared his throat. Remember when we started meeting together? He asked. We agreed that either of you could say anything to the other that you needed to get out, right? This was to be a forum where either, or both, of you could say whatever you felt necessary.
He let the silence continue for a moment, while both of his clients nodded.
Mr. Houston turned to Barbara.
Mrs. Curtis, he said formally. What do you have to say to your husband about the events that have transpired over the past week?
Barbara looked speculatively at him, and then at Steve. She was quiet for a long moment. Then she let the dam on her emotions break wide open.
How could you? She cried. How could you do that to me?
Steve didn't bother to deny part of what he'd done had been directed at her. He had no interest in disguising his motives at all.
Because you couldn't hear me when I said you did not understand the hurt and the empty feeling in my gut, he explained. You kept saying you did, but you didn't, he said scornfully. Anything you were feeling was damn trivial beside what I was having to deal with Dot, but you kept at me. Every day it was the same thing. You or your mom or your dad Dot, someone was always telling me I was overreacting, that it wasn't all that serious, that I was making too much of it.
Well, now you do know, Steve said harshly. Now you know how it feels to have someone so beautiful, wholesome, and so incredibly precious taken from you.
Now you know what it's like to have an exquisitely wonderful image like that shattered, don't you, Barbara? He leaned back in his seat, breathing hard. His fingers were dancing on the chair arm in agitation. Mr. Houston and Barbara were silent. They looked at him, each with their own thoughts. You didn't have to have sex with her, Barbara said more calmly. You could have just brought Dad the videos. That would have been enough. Steve nodded in agreement. You're absolutely right, I could have, he said. But you needed to lose something more in all this, dear. I lost my wife, Kimberly lost her innocence, and now for at least a couple of weekends you lost your husband to your baby sister, Steve said bitterly. Now we're all even, he told her. Everybody's hurt, and nobody's a winner. Barbara stared at him. She didn't know Steve had been capable of saying such cruel things. A stray thought ran through her mind. She wondered if he had been capable of such harshness before he'd caught her with Rafe. She didn't like that thought. Besides, Steve continued unexpectedly. The sex was the least part of the whole thing with your sister. I was just one more guy sticking a dick into her and a long line of guys doing the same thing, and for me, it was just a way of getting out of all this. Barbara looked at him questioningly, though she didn't ask him what he meant. Don't you get it, Barbara? Steve said softly. Did you watch all those videos? He asked. Barbara's face instantly turned a bright pink. Only one, she said. You saw enough, Steve assured her. You saw your little sister fucking all those guys in every way she could, right? Barbara nodded. She was embarrassed by the memory of the video and by Steve's language. She didn't want to extend the embarrassment by objecting to the words he chose to use. You saw her taking them all on, one at a time and in groups. And all the guys were doing it, bareback, the whole time, right? Her face flushed even redder. Barbara nodded shortly. Do you think I wasn't doing the same thing? You know I hate the feel of condoms on me, right? Barbara nodded sharply. Steve waited, but his wife said nothing. Don't you get it, Barbara? He asked. Kimberly had no clue about safe sex. She's probably got every sexually transmitted disease known to mankind, and she gave them all to me. He waited again. Barbara, he said reprovingly. You know my medical history, I'm violently allergic to penicillin and every drug that is a derivative of it. I seriously doubt the docs will be able to cure what I've got churning around inside my body now, and if she's HIV positive, if she gave me AIDS, there's no hope at all, is there? Barbara looked at her husband in horror. She had forgotten. She knew Steve had almost died as a baby when a shot of penicillin had been administered for a much less serious ailment. Why? She whispered. You didn't have to do that. Steve shrugged wearily. Because I was tired of hurting all the time, Barbara. Because you wouldn't let me be. I couldn't get away and let any healing start. You kept the pain front and center in my mind all the time. If it's any consolation, I'm not sure I feel that way anymore. I wish I hadn't had sex with Kim. I'm ashamed of having done it. But when the opportunity happened, I was so damn depressed I couldn't see a way out. Steve sat up in the chair and glanced at the counselor. Mr. Houston was looking back at him with something of the same shock his wife was showing. Steve got up and walked slowly to the door. He turned back just before pulling the door shut. I told you a long time back, Mr. Houston. I told you I was having some ideas about suicide, didn't I? You know I did. You scribbled down some notes when I said it. Well, I don't know for sure if I've killed myself by having sex with my wife's sister, but at the time Kim was with me, I just didn't care. He said again. It's too late now, Barbara. He said, looking at his wife. But for what it's worth, I'm sorry. He closed the door gently, but firmly, and walked away. Barbara caught up with him in the parking lot outside. Steve was surprised, but it was a small one beside the earlier one of Barbara's arrival. Steve! Wait! He turned around to see his wife walking quickly through the double doors that led from the ground floor to the parking lot. She had a look of determination on her face. She was also more than a little mad. She clutched at his arm when she came up to him. Are you through feeling sorry for yourself now? Barbara demanded. For a moment, Steve was tempted to throw her anger back at her. He was quiet while he got his temper under control. He gave his wife a half-smile. Yeah, I think I am, he said quietly. He had been disturbed to find something of that within himself just this afternoon. He'd quashed the, poor me, feelings down to nothing, making himself face what he'd done in a fit of deep depression with Kimberly. He was more than a little sorry he'd done it. He wished he hadn't exposed himself to all the STDs he expected Kim had, but there was nothing he could do about it at this late date. Barbara's eyes flicked from one feature to another across his face, searching for some reassurance her husband was on an even keel. To hear that he had considered suicide, that he might have effectively done so, was enormously disconcerting. She didn't know what to do about it. She'd not considered it beforehand and wasn't prepared to deal with it. She decided to just go ahead and do what she'd planned to do tonight anyway. Coffee, she said emphatically, pointing at the Denny's across the street. Steve looked at the brightly lit restaurant and shrugged his shoulders. He didn't have a problem with drinking a cup with his wife. In passing, though, he wondered if he could have done it with her 3 weeks ago. Clearing the air, so to speak, by having unprotected sex with Kim, and then admitting well, it might have been just what he needed so to speak. He was calm again, though the deep peace he'd felt before the session began was gone. He surprised himself. Somewhere along the line, a confidence in himself he thought he'd lost forever was beginning to reassert itself. He didn't mind dealing with Barbara. I want to come home, Barbara told him without any preliminaries.
They'd barely been seated at a booth in the corner. Steve was caught by surprise. It was becoming a trend.
I don't think that's a good idea, he said finally.
Nothing's changed, Barbara.
The hell it hasn't, Barbara retorted.
You've fucked my sister six ways from Sunday, Steve. That wipes out the piddling little hand jobs I gave Mr. Raphael and then some, mister. Now's a real good time for us to reevaluate some things, don't you think?
The waitress brought them two steaming cups of coffee. Steve smiled and thanked her. He took a moment to stir two teaspoons of sugar into the coffee. Finally, he couldn't think of a way he could stall any longer. He looked up at Barbara.
It doesn't, you know, he said. What I did doesn't wipe out anything you did. When I was with your sister, you'd already broken our wedding vows. So far as I'm concerned, the marriage was null and void as of the first minute of the first day you were alone with that asshole.
Barbara leaned closer across the table. She whispered, but Steve had no problem understanding her.
I have already apologized to you 1,000 times for all of that,
she said, tapping her fingernail on the hard plastic tabletop.
I've told you I understand how wrong I was so many times I can't count them, and I've admitted I was stupid and that I do not have any excuse for what I did. I can't be any sorrier than I am, Steve. I can't submerge myself any deeper in remorse, and I've done everything I can think of to get it through to you that I want to make it up to you by being the woman you want for the rest of our lives. That's all I can do, Steve. Can't you see that? She paused. She saw the indecision on her husband's face.
Damn you, Steve, we had some good years together, Barbara said angrily. Are you so damn sure of yourself that you can throw it all away because of a few dumb shit things that make even me sick to my stomach? Can't you see I could never force myself to do them ever again?
Steve rocked back in the hard bench seat, looking intently at his wife. There was no deceit in her eyes, but he'd been fooled before. He started to speak, stopped before he began, cleared his throat with a low cough, and began again.
No, he admitted. I'm not sure of much of anything anymore except that I can't stand the thought of you sharing yourself with another man. I'm not just talking about the sex, Barbara. That was pretty strange and uninteresting, I guess is the right word.
I'm also talking about the evenings when you sat like a lump on the other end of the sofa looking off into space while you thought about Raphael or whoever. I'm talking about the kisses I didn't get, the little smiles, the touches. I'm talking about every tiny thing you did for another man when you could have been doing them with me.
Barbara's eyes glistened wetly. She bent low to retrieve her purse from the floor at her feet. She pulled out the tissue every woman has in her purse and dabbed at the corner of her eyes.
I know, she said in a husky voice. I was a fool. I loved sharing those kind of things with you and I missed them badly. But you've withdrawn yourself from me over the past few months. This time, it's been you who made it impossible for those little kisses, the smiles and touches. But I'm not interested in whether we're equal now, Steve. I just want to get those times back, Steve. All you've got to do is give me a chance.
Steve watched as she put the tissue away. She put her purse on the seat beside her this time.
I don't know, Barbara.
His wife cut him off.
What have you got to lose?
Barbara asked quietly. Steve frowned at her, baffled and thrown off balance for the umpteenth time this evening. He swallowed some coffee. It was still too hot, and he burned his tongue. Setting the cup down hurriedly made some spill on the table, and he used a napkin to wipe it up.
Well?
Barbara asked when he was finished. She'd watched all the byplay without moving a muscle. Steve sighed softly to himself. What in the hell was a man supposed to do in situations like this? Things were happening too fast. His head was spinning. Earlier, he was looking forward to a final split with his wife. He was sure she would hate him now, and that would be the deciding factor in her letting him go. An hour later, Barbara was asking him to set aside what she had done to him as she was setting aside everything he'd done in the past few days and at least let her move back in. All his training said she had a good point. All his instincts told him his wife was just playing him. He was confused. This wasn't what should be happening. Barbara shouldn't want. He admitted it. She was right. Everything considered, he didn't have anything more to lose. What difference would it make? Besides, he'd kicked her out once. He could do it again. Nothing material would change.
All right, he said carefully.
Barbara held herself still for a long moment, then breathed out a breath she'd been keeping in too long. She smiled nervously. She looked around the restaurant for a moment, caught off guard by Steve's acceptance of her proposal.
I'm hungry,
she announced. Steve blinked. He hadn't been able to anticipate a damn thing that had happened tonight. On the other hand,
I could eat, he said, agreeing with her.
When they finished their impromptu late dinner, they talked for a while. They were careful to keep the topics neutral. Both found themselves enjoying the small talk in spite of themselves, in spite of what had happened the past week and tonight. It was getting late though, and both had to work tomorrow.
Do you want me to call you a cab?
Steve asked, once they were outside. The night was refreshing without being uncomfortably cold. Barbara looked around at him.
I told you I wanted to come home, she said.
And you said yes.
You mean?
He gave up before the protest passed his lips. He'd been outmaneuvered all night long, it seemed. Why should this exchange be any different? The evening had started out so promising too.
What about your clothes?
He asked as they neared his pickup.
Don't you have to?
Barbara pointed into the passenger cab. Steve looked. On the wide bench seat rested two big suitcases. He sighed and unlocked the door.
Pretty sure of yourself, aren't you?
He grunted. Lifting the luggage over the high sides into the truck bed wasn't easy. They were damned heavy.
No,
Barbara said sweetly.
My nanny was sure of you, though. Steve threw a startled glance at her, nearly losing his grip on the second bag. He worked it back over the side and let it drop into the bed. He turned away without saying anything and stopped halfway around to the passenger side door.
Hey, Dado!
He answered his own question before he voiced it. You never took my key. Barbara explained unnecessarily.
I will need a new house key. She added delicately.
Right. Steve answered, shrugging. He thought about the key to the pickup months ago, but it hadn't seemed important. The new house key was a given, now that he was letting her move back in.
Lydia was sure you could work me, huh?
He asked half resentfully. He opened Barbara's door and handed her up to the high seat.
No,
Barbara said after he'd gotten in and closed his own door.
But she said you wouldn't allow yourself to be unreasonable beyond a certain point. She said you couldn't do that any more than you could sprout wings and fly. Nanny has a lot of faith in you, you know. She's pretty sure you hung the moon,
Barbara told him. Steve rolled his window down to take advantage of the cool night air.
Nanny is playing God again,
Steve muttered just before he started the engine. Sound travels well at night, particularly across hard pavement, and when there are no traffic noises. What he said was heard by the old woman sitting quietly in the darkened car.
I'm not playing God,
Lydia said softly as the pickup gathered speed and moved quickly down the street.
I'm playing Cupid, you big lug. You just keep on being the man you are, Dot, and we'll all get through this without hurting each other too much more.
She watched the truck vanish as it turned a corner. Lydia and her part-time chauffeur, handyman, gardener, and sometime cook had sat here for hours, waiting while Lydia's favorite couple met with the counselor, and then watching them through the big windows in the brilliantly lit restaurant as they talked. Now they were driving away together. Lydia hadn't dared hope for that, though she and Barbara had planned for it.
We can go now, Phil, Lydia said.
Okie dokie, he replied.
Say, Doc, you did say double overtime for this night work, right?
Huh, Lydia retorted.
I said time and a half, you thief, and you're lucky to get that.
Yes, ma'am, Phil said. He was going to get double pay for the evening, and he knew it. Lydia did too, though she had actually promised only the lesser amount. Before they got back to Lydia's house, she would be feeling guilty about having kept him out and away from his family until late. Phil smiled to himself as he drove. When they got home, Steve carried Barbara's bags inside. He hesitated for a moment just inside the door. Barbara did not. She set off down the hall and into the master bedroom. Steve followed her, standing in the doorway while Barbara looked around. She found nothing particularly out of place. The carpets had been recently vacuumed, there were no bad odors, and the bed was neatly made. There was a faint scent of cinnamon stick in the air. It was Steve's favorite air freshener. She inspected the bed closely.
Never,
Steve said from the doorway. Barbara nodded her acceptance. Kimberly had told her they did it all in the living room, usually on the carpeted floor.
If you want to sleep on the couch, I'll make it out into a bed,
Steve offered.
Don't even go there,
Barbara shot back. She turned to face him with her fists on her hips.
You told me once you hadn't done a damn thing for me to make you sleep on the couch,
she reminded him.
Well, Buster, I haven't done a damn thing you haven't done too, Dot, and I'm going to sleep in my bed tonight. Is that all right with you?
She asked belligerently.
Did Nanny tell you to say that too?
He asked.
Nope, she answered spiritedly. That was all me.
Okay, Steve said with a faint smile.
It's up to you,
Steve remarked in a dispassionate voice.
But we're not going to,
Barbara sniffed expressively.
You can count on that,
she assured him. Steve nodded.
Then we do have something we can agree on,
he said quietly. He slipped back out the door and went to the kitchen for a Coke. His throat was dry and he needed something to do while Barbara put up her clothing. Barbara had been cold and distant dot or openly antagonistic dot for 8 or 9 months before Steve caught her with Raphael Porter in the park. He'd gotten accustomed to not even seeing her while they were separated. It hadn't been too difficult an adjustment. The anger had made it easy to get used to her not being around. Then he'd been ambushed by Barbara showing up on the evening he'd forecast as punctuating the end of his marriage. He thought all the loose ends were tied up in a neat little bow and he could let go of it all. He'd assumed that what he had done by exposing Kimberly's addiction, and fucking her too, would be the knife stroke that would cut their relationship off once and for all. When she shone only a momentary fury and then let it drop, he'd been puzzled. Of course, he'd walked out of the session just then, but still. Then she'd caught up with him, got him to go for coffee, and presented logical reasons why he should let her back into the house. He hadn't been prepared with any kind of counterargument. He kept wondering how he'd been maneuvered into the position in which he found himself. Now that Barbara was back, he thought things would go back to the chilly relationship they'd had this time last year. Instead, Barbara was attentive and companionable whenever they were together. She called him at work just to see how he was doing and took over the cooking entirely, and made a point of often preparing his favorite meals. He tried for a semblance of a separate kind of existence even though she was living in the same house, but that had lasted less than a week. He couldn't help but respond her friendly conversation and increasingly fond smiles. Barbara respected his boundaries and backed off when he grew uncomfortable. She deliberately, but cautiously, tested them from time to time, cheerfully backing away when he resisted. He let some of the barriers draw back over time. He knew it was happening and didn't try to stop it. Steve still held her at arm's length in a number of areas. There was a point past which he would not go. In particular, even if he had not been infected with a number of STDs, he did not want sex with Barbara.
He made it clear he didn't know when or how that would change. Thursday couples counseling. He'd never really thought these two clients would get even this far. There'd been a session when he thought they'd fought to a mutually agreed upon severance of their relationship. Instead, that very evening, Barbara had moved back in with Steve. And with his concurrence, it served to show him that the human animal was capable of nearly anything. In his estimation, the science of psychology couldn't even begin to explain how people's minds worked. All a counselor could hope to do was point folks at a goal and try to keep them focused on it.
Steve, Vern Houston said, you've made enormous gains in ridding yourself of your anger against Barbara. I can see it's taken a monumental effort on your part, and I know Barbara appreciates it.
He turned to Steve's wife. Barbara, you've made tremendous strides in extracting yourself from a murky, uncertain existence. You identified the fog you were in as being the primary factor for you pushing your husband away from you. That's taken a tremendous effort, and I'm sure Steve has noticed the difference.
There. That was done, Vern thought. It was right out of the professional counselor's guide. The book, said to set the tone for a new discussion with something positive about each participant. Sometimes it was hard to find anything encouraging, particularly with these two, but it had been easier the past month.
Let's talk about forgiveness, he said quietly. He watched as Steve's body language immediately showed a rejection of the topic.
What does forgiveness mean to you, Barbara? Vern asked.
Acceptance, she replied immediately. She looked across the gap between their chairs at her husband.
I've been thinking about it a lot, she explained. To me, it means some person recognizes someone else has done a wrong, but the person recognizes and accepts that someone is truly remorseful and will take the steps to see the wrong thing never happens again.
Steve? The counselor threw the question to Barbara's husband.
I guess I haven't been thinking too much about
forgiveness.
Or what it means, Steve said slowly. What Barb said is okay as far as it goes, but I just don't understand how her
person
can just ignore what the
someone
has done and accept it.
No, Barbara said emphatically before Mr. Houston could say anything.
I didn't mean acceptance of the wrong thing itself.
Condoning the bad thing would be wrong too. What I meant was for the person to accept that the someone did something wrong, but that the someone is basically a good person who did a bad thing. It's that the person takes that into account, and also how terrible that someone feels about having done it, and how committed someone is to making sure never allowing it to happen again.
Does that make sense to you, Steve?
Vern asked. Steve glanced around at Mr. Houston with a troubled expression on his face.
Well, if I followed all the persons, and someones, and somethings, and stuff.
He looked at Mr. Houston for a moment without speaking. There was a faraway look in his eyes. It took him a while to come back to the counseling session.
Oh, I'm sorry. Steve apologized.
Yes, it makes sense to me, but what about that
never happening again
thing? How can a person ever know that someone can't ever damn it? Steve looked at his wife and then swiftly back around to their counselor.
Is it okay if I talk about us instead of?
Sure. Barbara and Vern answered in unison.
Thanks, Steve said dryly.
He paused a moment longer.
To me, I wonder how I can ever be sure Barb won't ever do something like this again. I don't know how I can ever trust her again.
Trust? Vern said.
Is trust a necessary component of forgiveness, Steve?
Steve looked uncertainly at the counselor.
I think so, he said tentatively.
But I'm willing to be talked out of it, he added.
Barbara?
Vern asked.
No, I think they are two separate things, she said slowly.
She tossed a quick glance at her husband. When she spoke, it was to the counselor, not her husband.
Steve might forgive me, he might accept that I'm a good person who did a bad thing, like I said, and that I'll be sorry for the rest of my life, but he might not ever trust me again.
She whispered softly. Her eyes were anxious. Her hands clasped each other tightly while she waited for Steve to say something. Steve looked back at her with a troubled expression.
Well,
He fell silent after trying to find the words to express his feelings.
All I know is I want back the woman I married,
he said finally. There was quiet for a short time in the small room. Barbara shifted restlessly in her chair. She bit her lower lip, struggling with something she didn't know how to address.
Barbara?
Mr. Houston asked.
That's about the stupidest thing you could want,
Barbara said heatedly. This time she was clearly addressing Steve. Surprised, Steve turned his body on the chair cushions to face her directly.
Think about it, Steve, she said emphatically. If you could erase everything that's happened in the past year, and we went back to the way we were when we had just gotten married, you would have a whole lot of unhappiness in store because all the problems and immaturity, and everything else that I had in me would still be there. I would just be an affair waiting to happen, darn it all. Can't you see that?
Wouldn't it be better for me to understand myself a lot better, and know how I leave myself vulnerable, and how a guy can insert himself into my emotions and my life? Wouldn't it be better for me to despise what I did so completely that I could never do it again? Isn't that a better way for me to be than that idiot you married, honey?
Barbara looked at her husband, pleading with her eyes and words for understanding.
Steve looked unconvinced for a long time. He closed his eyes and leaned back in his seat.
You know, he said finally.
He hadn't opened his eyes. If you keep using logic when we talk, all these conversations we're having with Mr. Houston are going to be awfully short.
His voice was weary, but there was relief in it too.
He smiled at the ceiling and sat up.
Okay, he said quietly.
You're right. It would be a whole lot better if you had never done anything with those men,
but since you did, and we can't change that fact, I agreed that I'd rather have a wife who knows what a terrible thing it is she had done. He brooded for a small space. But how do I know you won't do it again? How do I trust you again? I kind of feel like trust is like your virginity. Once it's gone permanently, right? Not necessarily. Vern interjected. Excuse me, but let me explain something that's been the subject of a lot of research, okay? Steve and Barbara sat back and waited for the counselor to speak. Simply put, trust and love too are a product of a sometimes lengthy period of one person being with another person. He waited, looking back at the two people he was trying to help. They were waiting for his next remark. That's it, he said cheerfully. That's all I had to say. He smiled at the couple before him. He watched as they mulled over what he'd said. Steve took a deep breath, attracting Vern's attention. Okay, Steve said slowly. You mean I can only learn to trust my wife again by being with her and learning to trust borrowing from what she said earlier learning to trust who she is now? Mr. Houston beamed at Steve as a teacher would an especially perceptive pupil who just explained the difficult problem on the blackboard. What did he say about love? Lydia asked her granddaughter the next afternoon. What did who say about love? Barbara answered confused. You said the counselor said trust and love come about after a man and a woman are together for some time. Lydia explained patiently. And Steve said he saw he might could learn to trust you after being with you for a long while, right? So what did Steve say about loving you? Barbara sniffed and looked at her grandmother. Close enough, I guess. Well, Steve didn't say anything about it, she admitted. Maybe he didn't hear Mr. Houston, she said hesitantly. Oh, Toro poo-poo, Lydia said emphatically. Bullshit. No, honey, your husband likes for other folks to underestimate him. He doesn't care for people to know how smart he is, but he would never have missed something like that. You know better than that. She tapped a fingernail against her upper teeth. But, she said contemplatively, he didn't rule it out either, did he? She thought for a long while. Yeah, I think that's a good sign, Barbie girl. If your hubby had a disagreement with what Mr. Houston said, he would have told you and Houston both and probably done it pretty forcefully too, if I know that boy. Lydia smiled. So since he didn't, let's say the glass is half full instead of half empty. She thought a little longer, smiling all the while. Okay, she said briskly. So what do we do to fill that glass up, child? Barbara looked confused. Lydia patted Barbara's cheek gently. We got past one humongous hurdle, sugar. You're back home with him and, like your Mr. Houston said, that's awfully, awfully important. What we have to do is work a little bit harder, and this man will be right back and love you in no time at all. So what are you going to set up to make that happen? Hey, big guy, she said into her cell phone. Hi, Barb. What's up? Steve replied. He leaned back in his office chair and smiled into space in spite of himself. He was beginning to appreciate hearing from his wife once or twice a day. I was thinking if you didn't have other plans, maybe you'd like to go to Ramon's tonight for dinner, Barbara said in a cheerful voice. Steve was silent for an instant. Are you asking I asked this a date? Steve asked. You bet your sweet ass it is. Barbara shot back happily. She waited. Ramon sounds good, Steve said. Do I get to drive or will you pick me up? He asked. Barbara heard the amusement in his voice. You better drive, she said, laughing. I've been having dreams about one of those big margaritas they have there. Steve laughed with her. Sounds good. I'll be home about 6, okay? Great, I'll make the reservations for 7:30 then, Barbara replied. Her heart was singing. See you then, Barb, Steve said. Talk to you later. Bye, honey, Barb said. For a moment, she wondered if she'd gone too far, but there was only the distant click as Steve hung up. She was disappointed, but encouraged too. He hadn't responded in kind, but he hadn't refused the endearment either. They were getting closer. She was going to make her husband fall in love with her all over again, and this was another step on that road. This was going to be such a good night. Nunny had guaranteed her it would be. Chapter 9 Late January. He'd been sick, off and on, since the beginning of the year. First, it had been a nasty case of the flu that sapped his energy and put him in bed for 4 days. It should have been longer, but he refused to stay down that long. Next, it had been a stomach virus everyone said was going around. And although it didn't make Steve take off work, he was clearly miserable and wasn't making any new friends at work. Now, it seemed he just didn't have any energy. He was tired all the time and regularly came home from work exhausted. Strangely, he was often unable to sleep. Barbara was worrying herself sick about her husband. Just when there were hopeful signs in their relationship, he seemed to be getting sicker and sicker. She thought she knew why. When Steve got home, Barbara wasn't there. He'd known she wouldn't be. She told him that morning she was going to visit her grandmother that evening, and she'd be home about 10 p.m. She'd offered, as she always did these days, to call him from her grandmother's phone every so often while she was there so he could know she was actually there. Steve refused, as he always did. He had no intention of treating her like a misbehaving child, he told her. He had a couple of drinks on the way home, something he'd almost given up during the long separation from his wife. His brother John had called, though, and wanted Steve to meet him somewhere. They didn't get together often enough, John said. What he really wanted was an update on how he and Barbara were getting along, and Steve knew it. That was fine. Months of counseling had let him open up a lot more than he'd ever been able to do before.
He especially didn't mind talking to his brother. He was tired, he was beginning to feel the effects of the liquor, and he was hungry when he finally made it home. He tossed his briefcase on the couch, and watched to make sure it didn't bounce off onto the floor. There were some reports in there he needed to go over with Barb, but they could wait. In the kitchen, he made himself a couple of sandwiches, dropped a handful of chips on a plate, and was making good progress on gulping it all down when the phone on the wall next to him rang. He hadn't been expecting it, and he inhaled involuntarily. The better part of two potato chips went down the wrong way. When he answered, his voice was hoarse and ragged.
"Hello?"
he gasped.
"Honey, what's wrong?"
Barbara asked anxiously. She listened as her husband coughed harshly. He put his hand over the mouthpiece, but she could still hear the muffled coughs.
"Just eating some chips and a sandwich,"
Steve said in a strained voice. He cleared his throat, coughed once more, and tried again.
"Ah,"
he said, drawing out the word experimentally.
"There, Dot, I think I'm all better,"
he said. His voice was stronger, though the hoarseness remained.
"Are you all right?"
Barbara asked.
"Yeah, Dot, the phone caught me by surprise when it rang,"
Steve explained. "I choked on a potato chip." They talked for a few minutes, and then Barbara passed the phone to Lydia. Sometimes, even though Steve never asked, Barbara felt better if he had some verification of where she was. When Lydia hung up, Steve finished his sandwich, took a shower, and went to bed. Barbara was still anxious when she got home, but Steve was in bed asleep. The booze had had its effect on him, and he barely roused when she slipped into bed beside him. She touched his shoulder and stroked it gently as she listened to him breathe. It sounded a little rough, she thought, and maybe he was wheezing a little too. She looked at his body. He'd lost a good 10 pounds just since the first of the year. It had to be something serious, but he kept telling her not to worry. He was back on South Padre Island. They were on their honeymoon. Barbara and he had sneaked hand in hand behind some sand dunes. She had pushed him flat on the beach blanket and yanked his swimsuit down before straddling him and guiding him into her. She'd eased herself down on him, driving his prick deep inside. Her gasping pleasure at the feeling of his dick invading her vagina had aroused him even more than he'd already been. She'd begun riding him cowgirl style, varying hard back and forth thrusts by rising straight up and letting her weight pull her back down on his cock. He couldn't get his swimming trunks off his feet. He kept trying, but they were tangled around his ankles and he could not get them off. It was distracting him when he wanted to pay attention to his new wife's lovely dangling breasts dancing so beautifully before his eyes. If he could just get his suit off so he could thrust up inside her more strongly. Steve woke slowly, spending a long time in that limbo between wakefulness and sleep. He didn't want to let it go. It was such a great dream.
"Ah, na, na, na,"
Barbara grunted as she pushed her cunt down over Steve's hardness. Her nightgown was gathered around her waist, the top almost off her shoulders. She was setting a hard, fast pace without any grace to it. She moaned, her lips pressed into the hollow of his shoulder, as she felt her orgasm beginning to rise. Frantically, Barbara tried to squeeze her husband's penis with her vagina muscles. She wanted Steve to spend himself inside her, flooding her with his hot cum. She could feel him beginning to rouse. She had to get this done before he awakened completely and stopped her. Steve began to work with her, setting a strong rhythm that rammed his cock deep inside his woman. It had been so long. He couldn't hold back much longer. When Barbara's vagina muscles began squeezing the head and shaft of his cock, he lost control. Abruptly, his climax was there. He shoved his hips up hard to meet Barbara's down thrust. Straining, he held himself deep inside her and pumped spurt after spurt of white gray cum into her vagina. He was coming long after he thought it had to end.
"Arrgh,"
he bellowed. He couldn't help himself. It was the spur Barbara needed to get over the threshold herself.
"Steve!"
she cried. The two worked themselves against the other, rubbing their groins together in a final paroxysm of carnal lust. Barbara's strength deserted her. She collapsed atop her husband. They lay that way for a time, breathing hard and relaxing in the afterglow of their sexual union. Barbara rolled off him and lay on her back beside him. She stared up at a ceiling hidden in the darkness. Steve chuckled. He felt good, truly alive for the first time in many months. He'd missed this. He hadn't known until this moment how much he'd missed it.
"Now, what was that all about?"
he asked his wife in a soft voice. She didn't answer at first.
"I don't want you to die and leave me alone,"
Barbara sobbed. Steve couldn't make any sense of her words. He was still not completely alert after having been awakened so abruptly. He turned on his side and reached out a hand to caress her soft belly. This was the first time they'd had sex in almost a year, but they'd begun accepting small, affectionate touches from each other since Barbara had moved back in. Steve was surprised to find his wife was trembling as she lay next to him. Abruptly, he was wide awake. He rolled up on his elbow. He couldn't see his wife's face, but he didn't need to. He knew it so well he could picture the tears flowing from her eyes.
"Barbara, what's wrong?"
he asked quietly. His wife didn't answer for a while.
"I don't want you to die,"
she whimpered.
"And I couldn't stand living without you,"
she sobbed between hiccups.
"Now I'm going to die too."
In the darkness, Steve's eyes widened in amazement. He was at a loss for words.
"Steve?"
Barbara asked softly.
"What, honey?"
He was distracted. He'd been trying to find a way to begin telling her what he'd been told just today.
"Hold me? I'm so scared,"
she begged. Steve scooted closer and took her in his arms. He pulled her on her side so they were pressed together the whole length of their bodies. For a moment, he said nothing.
He realized he had to choose his words carefully.
Baby, listen, you're not going to die, and neither am I, okay?
She continued to quiver in his arms. He hugged her tighter.
Barb, listen to me, you're not going to die.
He shook her tenderly.
And I'm going to be around to aggravate you till you're old and toothless and can't walk without a cane. You understand? You are not about to die, and I'm not either.
Barbara quieted in his arms.
But you've been so sick.
You've got a bad case of the flu, followed by something one of the secretary's kids had that got passed on to me, followed by a week of hard work without lunches, honey.
I don't have anything any more serious than that.
He thought for a moment.
I lost my appetite for a while, and I guess I look like a scarecrow dot or a skeleton or something, but I'm fine now. I ate like a horse at dinner and was still hungry when I got home.
He hugged his wife again.
I think I'm going to go easy on potato chips, though.
He added. Barbara had stopped shivering in his arms. She took in everything her husband was telling her, but she was bewildered. The bed bounced when Steve untangled his feet from the sheets and got up.
I'll be right back,
he told her. Steve walked quickly out of the room. Barbara heard him turn on a lamp in the living room. There were two snapping noises, a rustling sound, then something thumped closed, and Steve turned off the light out there. A moment later he was sitting beside her on the bed and clicking on the bedside lamp. Barbara was blinded. She blinked repeatedly until she got used to the brilliance. She pulled her upper body up on her elbows.
I meant to tell you this tonight, Barbara,
Steve explained.
But this was the night you always go visit your grandmother.
He waved an official-looking form at her.
Honey, he said earnestly, I am not HIV positive. It's been more than 3 months since I was exposed, and there's no sign of any of the antibodies. I just got the word from Dr. McMillan this afternoon.
He studied Barbara's face for a hint into her thinking.
The doctor told me 96 or 97% of the time, HIV shows up between 0.2 and 12 weeks after exposure was what he said, and I'm way past that, Barbara. There are some very rare occasions when it won't show up until the 6-month point, but Dr. Mack isn't concerned about that where I'm concerned. He said the chances I will test positive from this point on are about the same as being hit by a meteor. Understand, honey? I don't have AIDS, and you can't catch it from me.
Barbara lay back on the pillow and looked up at the ceiling for a space.
You couldn't have told me earlier?
She said with an edge to her voice.
I was asleep.
Steve countered quickly, reminding her.
I didn't know it couldn't wait until morning, Barbara.
He told her in a conciliatory tone. The reasoning was too clear for her to refute.
And since they gave me that injection desensitizing me to penicillin, they've knocked down all the other STDs and I'm completely clean.
Oh. And the county health people have contacted all of Kim's partners, and all of them are HIV negative too. All of them are past the 6-month point after having sex with someone outside their little circle. They've been passing a witch's brew of STDs around between them, but AIDS isn't one of them, honey.
He waited for Barbara to absorb everything he told her. We're not going to die,
she whispered.
Not anytime soon,
Steve assured her.
Oh God, Barbara said. You must think I'm such a fool,
she wailed. She threw her right forearm across her eyes to hide herself from her husband. Steve puffed out a breath of air. He'd been holding it while he waited for her reaction.
No, no, I don't, honey.
He turned out the light and got back into bed.
We do have something to discuss, though,
he said quietly.
What?
Barbara asked. She was comfortable in her husband's arms. She'd missed having them around her. We did agree that we would discuss and come to terms with everything relating to our beginning to have sex again, remember? Steve reminded her.
Well, yeah,
she answered reluctantly.
But.
No buts, Steve said sternly.
I'm going to have to punish you. What are you going to do?
Barbara asked worriedly. She had made that agreement, and this was no time for her and Steve to have a setback. They'd been doing so well since last fall.
Well, I think for starters, Steve replied. You are going to have to sleep in the wet spot tonight,
he said. Barbara relaxed in his arms. She passed a hand over the sheet-covered mattress.
I don't think there is a wet spot,
she said coyly.
Ah,
he drawled.
Well, that's true. My boxers took care of most of it before, but I'm pretty sure I remember how to make one on the sheets,
Steve said gently. His hand found the hem of her nightgown and slipped beneath to slide up her smooth thigh. Barbara giggled happily.
Okay,
she said agreeably. In the gray light of a cold dawn, making love to his wife didn't seem like the fine idea it had last night. As great as the lovemaking had been, as good as it was to hold her through the night once more, Steve still had many problems with Barbara's infidelity he didn't understand and didn't consider resolved. He didn't trust his wife anymore, for instance, and didn't see how he ever could again. He accepted her remorse for having betrayed the marriage, but wasn't sure how that affected anything. Most importantly, he didn't understand why she'd stepped outside the marriage. Beyond that, in only pretending to be irritated at her breaking the agreement not to have sex until they both agreed, he marginalized the process of setting up boundaries and conditions for living together in what he still considered an in-house separation. When he examined that, he saw that idea had been superseded. Somewhere along the way, he'd unwittingly crossed the threshold from not wanting and not believing reconciliation was possible, to hoping one was. It depressed him. It gave him a sense of not being in control of his own future again.
So, let's talk about forgiveness again this evening,
Bern Houston suggested.
In light of you two having made love last night,
Steve had hoped for the conversation to take a different direction.
He'd thought all day of the ramifications of what he and Barbara had done. The more he'd examined the sex and everything that surrounded the event, the less certain he was he understood anything about Barbara's adultery and his reaction.
Barbara?
Houston prompted. Barbara looked at the counselor uncertainly for a long moment.
Well, like we talked about it back then, she said slowly. It's about acceptance that a good person can do something bad and a deep remorse and stuff like that.
Yes, we've pretty much established a definition for it. Do you agree, Steve?
Steve nodded.
But I still have questions about some things related to forgiving someone. He reminded Mr. Houston.
Understood.
The counselor returned quickly. And we'll get to them, but I'd like to hear a discussion of just the one issue for right now, okay?
Steve nodded after a momentary hesitation.
Barbara, Mr. Houston said as he turned back to her. Have you asked Steve for his forgiveness? She doesn't have to beg me for forgiveness.
Steve said quickly.
I didn't say beg. Vern returned just as quickly. He'd been ready for the comment, though with many of his clients, it was the wayward spouse who mentioned it. He was encouraged that Steve's immediate reaction had been to defend his wife. It was a good sign.
I said ask?
Vern repeated. He turned his attention back to Barbara.
Have you?
He asked kindly. Barbara shook her head hesitantly. She wet her lips with a nervous tongue. She waited for Mr. Houston to continue. He didn't say anything. Barbara turned to Steve to find him watching her intently.
Steve!
She whispered.
I have been 10 kinds of a fool that I've done things that things a wife can never, ever do that, and I hate myself for having done them. I don't know how to tell you how sorry I am for everything about all of the terrible.
Yes, Steve said softly.
What?
Barbara said cautiously. Steve took a deep breath and let it out. He was almost certain he was making a bad mistake. I forgive you for the lies, the deceit, all the things you've done. He said slowly, belatedly realizing he didn't want to itemize every wrong he felt she'd committed. I won't forget them anytime soon, maybe never, but I see how sorry, how remorseful you are, and I accept that.
He was about to add something but thought better of it. Instead, he reached across the gap between their chairs and took his wife's hand in his. He squeezed it gently.
Vern Houston let the moment extend itself for a while before taking the next step.
Steve, he said quietly, have you asked Barbara to forgive you for the hurt you've caused her?
Steve's grip on his wife's fingers tightened involuntarily. Steve's eyes narrowed to slits as he studied the counselor behind the big desk.
For the hurt, Steve?
Vern said delicately. There was a long moment of stillness in the room while Steve considered what the counselor was asking. Steve's eyes lost their focus while he reflected on Mr. Houston's words.
I am sorry for wrecking the image you had of your baby sister, Barb, he said tentatively. I think it had to be done. She was doing things that would destroy herself in time. But I didn't need to do it the way I did.
He continued. I wanted you to know how it felt to have something beautiful destroyed. But that was wrong of me. I should have found a better way to expose what she was doing to your parents.
Steve was quiet for a long while. His face reflected the turmoil in his mind. When Barbara would have said something, he held up his hand to stop her.
I will also be eternally sorry for having sex with her, Barbara, he said softly. It was part of wanting you to feel the same loss I had, but I shouldn't have done it.
He looked at Barbara for the first time.
I never thought we would ever even talk to each other again. I think having sex with her was a way of finally pushing you out of my life.
And maybe ending my life too, he mused. I don't know for sure if that's what I was trying to do or if I just accepted the possibility and didn't care about the consequences or what. I was so damn depressed I just didn't care anymore, he added.
Steve took another deep breath and let it out slowly.
I know it wasn't right to have sex with her, he said. Even if I considered the marriage over, I didn't have a right to do that and I wish I'd never done it.
He struggled for the words to express something else.
I forgive you for all of that, Barbara said calmly. I thought you knew, she added. I forgave you before the first counseling we had after I found out. I accepted that you had sex with Kimberly while you were so depressed you didn't know how to get out. I saw that the night I moved back home. I don't even think about it anymore.
Steve stared at her. They never discussed anything relating to his relationship with Kimberly.
You never wondered?
Barbara asked him.
Well, yeah. Steve answered. But for a long time it didn't matter too much to me why you didn't seem to hate me for it all.
He snorted.
Actually, it pissed me off that you wouldn't hate me so we could just get the divorce done.
He looked his wife in the eyes.
I don't feel that way anymore, he said. I was stupid too, Barbara. I was reacting to things you'd done, but I was stupid to think I could get even that way. It's over and done with now,
Barbara said briskly. She hesitated a moment. Steve stared at her. He understood what she was saying. He understood the spirit in which it had been offered. He looked away.
Someday, I hope I can say the same, he said.
Barbara hid her disappointment with a nod and a small smile. She'd hoped, but she wasn't going to ruin the progress she thought she'd made with her husband the past few days by pushing him further and faster than he felt comfortable going.
I think you've got your man back, young lady, Lydia said approvingly. It wasn't easy and he fought it as hard as he could, but you're his woman again and he's your man.
Barbara looked at her grandmother pensively. She wasn't quite so sure. Things were on the right track, but there were still a lot of problems still to be settled that solved.
What is it, child?
Lydia asked, seeing her granddaughter's face. Barb chewed at her lower lip for a few seconds before answering.
It's something Steve said a long time ago in a session, Barbara said finally.
He said the last time he'd had really good sex with me was .like, a couple of months after our honeymoon.
She looked at her grandmother mournfully.
Why would he say that, Nunny?
Well, this is a long shot, Barbie, but maybe because that's the way he felt?
Nunny! Barbara scolded. That's not nice.
Lydia chuckled.
Sometimes, honey, sex isn't nice. Sometimes it's hot, sweaty, undignified. And absolutely nasty.
Lydia remarked. Barbara looked at her grandmother uncertainly. Her nanny had told her they could discuss anything about anyone, but she sensed this subject might get out of control fast. She didn't know what to say next.
When you and Steve made love for the first time again, how was it?
Lydia asked, taking pity on her granddaughter. Lydia could see Barb didn't know how to approach a topic that had been bothering her for a while.
Beautiful.
Barbara replied instantly.
He was so tender and loving and kind. When we came, I thought I'd never felt so wonderful in my life.
So he kissed you a lot while he was making love to you? Lydia asked. Barbara nodded.
He cupped your breasts gently, kissed your nipples softly?
Barbara's neck began turning a delicate shade of pink. These weren't things she'd never dreamed of discussing with her mother, much less her grandmother.
Uh-huh.
Barbara muttered.
He stroked your arms, your thighs, he touched you softly everywhere, kissed his way down your belly, and yes, right, he did all that.
Barbara said hurriedly. The pink on her neck was getting darker and showed signs of becoming more enduring the longer her grandmother talked. Lydia smiled tolerantly at Barbara.
And when he put his penis inside you, he did it slow and gentle, making sure you were ready for him?
Barbara could only nod this time.
And the lights were out because the two of you were already in bed?
Barbara nodded shortly again.
Like you almost always are when you and Steve make love.
Barbara looked at her grandmother for a long moment before nodding slowly. Nunny was looking like the cat that had just eaten the canary. Barbara began to suspect Nunny was up to something. Lydia stood up and walked to the window to look outside for a bit. Barbara thought her grandmother was considering everything she'd been told. The things Barbara thought were too private to speak of with anyone else.
So,
Lydia said, turning around quickly.
When was the last time Steve bent you over the kitchen table and fucked your brains out?
It took a second. Barbara gasped.
Nunny!
She said, appalled by her grandmother's question. Lydia chuckled delightedly. Half the fun of growing old was shocking the daylights out of the younger generation.
Well?
Lydia asked, refusing to back off.
A long time.
Barbara responded faintly.
Since your honeymoon?
Lydia challenged.
Almost.
Barbara said in voice only slightly louder than a whisper. The dark red on her neck was spreading upward though the younger woman was trying hard to suppress it.
Lydia laughed. Because it's too nasty?
She asked. Barbara shook her head.
Steve quit asking me to do things like that.
She said defiantly.
Child.
Lydia said in a low voice.
That's probably because he could see you weren't very willing. So, why does he need to?
Ask.
You for sex anyway? How come you don't knock him down on the couch, drop on top of him, and tell him to slam it to you, huh?
Barbara's face was crimson now.
When's the last time you gave him a good old-fashioned, nasty-ass, knee-buckling blowjob?
Lydia asked.
How about doing him in the shower? Ever had him take you standing up out on the back porch?
Barbara was overwhelmed. She could only shake her head to every question her grandmother put to her. When her grandmother was silent, Barbara hung her head as the implication of all the questions became clear.
Am I such a prude as all that?
She asked timidly.
It's not like I wouldn't let Steve.
Lydia smiled gently.
Child, if it's not given freely, maybe he just gave up hoping you'd come to like it too and he quit asking.
But I like it, Nunny. Barbara protested.
But shouldn't Steve be the one to?
Her grandmother was shaking her head violently.
I blame your mother for this.
Lydia muttered to herself.
If she just started letting her hair down before she turned 40, well, never mind.
We'll work on it, Dot, if you want to. We can talk about the difference between making love, loving sex, and some good old raunchy sex that's just for fun.
Lydia said.
Barbara nodded eagerly. I do want to, Nunny. Work on it, that is. Ever since Steve caught me and gave me hell for being a jackass, I've wanted him so bad I ache sometimes. We've only done it a couple of times since I moved back home. If he'd only done the other day at work, Nunny, I started thinking about him and I wanted to just call him and meet him somewhere and...
Barbara cut herself off and turned scarlet.
Lydia laughed, then it's not too late.
She assured her granddaughter.
You just need a little education, a little spark maybe.
Where to start?
Okay. She sighed.
Nothing for it but to go whole hog, I guess.
Come with me, Barbie. I have some things for you to see, but if you tell your mom I have them, she'll come to think of it, she'll might want to borrow them, and that ain't gonna happen. Barbara followed her grandmother to the upstairs master bedroom where Lydia opened the lower drawer in her bureau. She began hauling out VHS cassettes, DVDs, unidentifiable equipment, and then a few recognizable pieces of plastic.
Nunny!
Barbara said, scandalized. Lydia only chuckled.
Child, you got a lot to learn and not much time to do it.
Lydia cautioned her granddaughter.
Now you take these videos home and you watch them. You'll get a few good ideas from them, not many, but some. Videos are all about different camera angles and weird positions people can't really get into and have good sex, but these will get any man into the mood, and you too probably.
They sure do me.
Nunny.
Barbara said in a subdued voice. She didn't know whether to laugh nervously or hide her eyes so she couldn't see the obscenely illustrated covers on the DVDs and cassettes. She recognized the assortment of vibrators and dildos for what they were. Unwanted, a vision of her grandmother using one. All of them raced through her mind.
The blush on her face was going to be permanent if she didn't get control of herself pretty darn quickly. To cover her confusion, she picked up a curiously shaped bit of clear blue plastic.
"What's this, Nunny?"
she asked.
"Honey, that's a butt plug,"
she explained without pausing and emptying her drawer of all its toys and paraphernalia. Barbara dropped the inoffensive piece of plastic on her grandmother's bed. Lydia looked at her granddaughter pityingly.
"Child, don't knock it till you try it,"
she advised.
"Anal sex is actually pretty damn good, when you figure out how it's done right."
"Nunny," Barbara said weakly. Lydia quit digging in the drawer and looked up at her granddaughter.
"It's the truth, Barbie girl,"
she assured her granddaughter.
"Actually, knowing what I do about what was on those videos of your sisters, I can tell you you're the only gal in the family not enjoying a little of that from time to time."
"Oh my God," Barbara whispered as the implication of what her grandmother said sank in.
"Mother told you."
Her grandmother just looked at her. Barbara collapsed, rather than sat, on the bed. The clear blue butt plug and a realistically shaped dildo rolled toward Barbara and she reflexively picked both up to keep them from falling off.
"Ah," Lydia said approvingly. "You like those, huh?"
Barbara quickly put them back on the bedspread where they wouldn't roll toward her again. It as if they'd suddenly grown too hot to handle. Lydia grinned at Barb's expression. The girl was trying to be proper and disinterested, but she couldn't keep from being curious. Lydia's expression changed.
"You know what?"
Lydia said. She was irritated with herself.
"This is going about it base-ackwards as my dad used to say. We need to go directly to the source."
Lydia began shoveling everything back in the big drawer.
"You got your car, right? You got a credit card with you?"
Lydia asked her granddaughter as she got to her feet and started for the door. She was moving fast and was already starting down the stairs.
"Sure,"
Barbara replied, getting hurriedly to her feet and following her grandmother to the stair landing outside the bedroom.
"Where are we going?"
"To an adult bookstore down off the loop," her grandmother told Barbara.
"Come on, Dot, we're wasting daylight."
"You're driving," Lydia added. Barbara felt a little faint but she kept walking. A moment later, she surprised herself by trotting eagerly down the stairs to catch up with her grandmother.
"Hi, Elaine, how are you doing?"
Steve greeted the attractive young woman as she sat down.
"Just fine, thanks. How about you?"
she replied. They ordered coffee. Neither was hungry. Their past few meetings had been quick ones where the earlier ones had been lengthy, full of small talk and support for each other. They didn't need that much support, or long dinners, these days.
"Doing pretty darn good, everything considered," Steve answered.
He smiled a lazy, relaxed smile to show how well he thought things were going.
"I pulled the divorce paperwork,"
Steve blurted. He'd been resisting that step for a long while, even though he'd been telling his attorney since November not to work on moving the petition forward.
"Good for you,"
Elaine remarked enthusiastically.
"It's about time you came to your senses," she added.
Steve was taken aback. His wife had had an affair with Elaine's husband. It had been primarily an emotional affair, but it had been progressing through tiny steps into a full-blown physical one when Steve had exploded the adulterer's little dream world into bits and pieces. Elaine, in Steve's estimation, shouldn't be that happy Barbara wasn't going to have to go through a nasty divorce.
"That's nice of you," Steve observed.
Elaine grinned.
"You think I should want her to suffer a little more?"
Dot something like that," Steve admitted.
"Well, you did put her through hell for a while there, dot several months worth, dot, and from what you've told me, she's made every effort to change the way she was acting. I don't have any particular need to see her beaten into the ground."
"Well, not anymore," Elaine grinned. She had been very certain Barbara and Elaine's husband needed exactly that when Steve and Elaine had met that first time. Steve smiled back. He and Elaine had gone through a lot over the past few months. Most of the time, they'd not felt like smiling at all.
"Rafe's coming around too,"
Elaine ventured. She spooned another teaspoon of sugar into her coffee cup for a time before looking up again.
"He isn't being considered as a city council candidate any longer, you know."
Steve nodded. He had known about that. The Democrats had dropped him like a flaming marshmallow back when the scandal broke. With the investigation on the former mayor's sexual indiscretion and subsequent perjury allegation about to be reported back to Congress, the party leadership hadn't wanted to draw any attention to themselves with a poorly considered nominee.
"And the insurance company refused to pay for his Thunderbird,"
Steve added. Elaine nodded and sniffed.
"He didn't need that damn car anyhow. I told him it was stupid to buy a car that only two people could get in when he bought the thing."
Elaine paused to let her irritation pass.
"Well, anyway, he also turned down a better job at the regional headquarters,"
Elaine said. She was making sure the sugar was completely stirred into the hot coffee.
"It was a test of sorts,"
she admitted.
"I told him he needed to spend more time with me and our daughter and asked him how he was going to do that if he accepted a more stressful and time-consuming job."
She looked up.
"He passed the test pretty well,"
she said.
"And he's working hard on being a better father to our little girl, and I couldn't ask for a better man for a husband lately, anyway."
She bit her lower lip.
"The thing is,"
Steve put his hand over hers as it lay on the tabletop.
"Now you need to be there so he can spend more time with you and your little girl?"
he asked.
"Yes,"
Elaine said gratefully.
"And this is going to be the last time we get together to talk?"
Steve asked.
"Yes,"
Elaine answered with a sad expression on her face. Steve smiled gently and patted her hand.
"Well, it's time,"
he said quietly.
"I'm glad for you, Elaine. I really am."
They talked for another 20 minutes, wrapping up a number of items they'd begun discussing through the months but not finished. When they were through and the coffee was finished, they left their waitress a $20 bill for the coffee and a big tip on the table and walked out. Outside, they embraced a last time and separated to go home to their spouses. A policewoman walking into the cafe thought they were a brother and sister having to say goodbye for a time. It was kind of touching.
Chapter 10 Late February.
I am truly amazed at the strides you both have made just in the last month, and much of it is being accomplished by the two of you working without me being there. That tells me the paths of communication are open again and working well between the two of you. That's very gratifying.
The counselor looked at the couple for a long moment.
What would you say if we started meeting just every 3 weeks for a while to see how it goes?
He asked them. Barbara and Steve looked at each other. Steve crooked an eyebrow a fraction of an inch and read something in his wife's eyes. Barbara had no objection. Vern chuckled to himself. The subtle nonverbal communications couples developed after living with each other was working well between these two again.
That sounds okay. Steve answered for both of them. We can always go back to a more frequent schedule if we need to, right?
Mr. Houston nodded.
Okay. Vern said briskly. We'll set it up for every 3 weeks then. Thursday evening's still good for everybody?
Good.
I'll just...
The counselor punched a button on his phone and waited. He frowned when there was no answer. He tried it again. There was no response.
Give me a minute.
He told the couple, getting to his feet.
The darned intercom has never really worked right. I'll just be a moment.
He hurried into the outer office.
We don't need to talk about important things just in front of him, do we?
Steve asked his wife when they were alone. Barbara shook her head decisively.
We're both adults,
she said.
If we get too pissed off with each other, we're smart enough to see it and do a timeout or something.
Steve nodded.
That's about how I see it.
He agreed. They were quiet for a while.
Kim said to say hi.
Barbara ventured. Steve was surprised.
She did? When did she say that?
He asked.
She called from Dallas this morning,
Barbara said.
Before I went into work.
Steve nodded. He didn't know what to say for a moment. He decided to just say what was on his mind.
Is she still mad at me?
Barbara laughed.
No, she got over that a long time ago,
she assured her husband.
She wanted really bad to cut your heart out for a while there,
she said.
But she's okay now.
Kim's been getting a lot of really intensive counseling,
Barbara continued.
And she sees she was heading down an awfully dark road. She's about to the point where she's ready to thank you for caring enough to stop it dead.
Actually, you wouldn't believe the baggage she's been carrying around since she was only about 6 years old.
Barbara shook her head in bewilderment.
Mom and Dad's little girls have been two messed up puppies, you know that?
Well, the dark road thing wasn't the only reason I told your parents about it, Steve muttered.
I'm still not happy with what I did too. We agreed we didn't need to discuss that again,
Barbara reminded him.
Yeah,
Steve sighed.
But sometimes I feel so guilty for being such an ass with her and then talking to your parents the way I did.
Barbara patted his hand comfortingly.
Honey, they've all three forgiven you, you know that,
she said.
I know,
Steve replied softly.
Sometimes I wish they'd be mad as spit at me,
he muttered.
The way your mom and dad treated me when we went over there at Christmas, I wouldn't have blamed him if your dad had hit me in the face instead of shaking my hand. Well, after Nani had a long talk with them and pointed out Kim was just a step away from overdosing or catching her death of disease, they were willing to be a little more compassionate than they would have otherwise,
Barbara told him.
Nani talked Dad into hiring that investigator to make sure all of those amateur porn tapes of Kim's were accounted for, you know. They never did find any more of them after that one guy in the first video you say you saw gave his copy up. Nothing ever showed up on the internet either, so it looks like all that is going to go away.
Your Nani has really been working hard in all of this, Steve remarked after a time. He didn't really like discussing Kim's videotapes.
You've been seeing an awful lot of her the past few weeks, haven't you?
He asked idly.
Barbara answered.
There was a hint of nervousness in her voice.
She's good for me, don't you think?
Steve nodded his agreement.
Nani likes you an awful lot,
Barbara told him. Steve smiled. He liked Barbara's grandmother right back.
Okay,
Vern said as he bustled back in the door.
Shalia's got it set up for you to be here every third Thursday for the next 2 months, and then we'll reevaluate.
Okay.
Sounds good,
Steve answered, looking at Barbara. She nodded.
Excellent,
the counselor said.
He beamed at the two of them. So what shall we talk about tonight?
He asked.
Are there any questions that haven't been answered in your mind?
Steve shifted uncomfortably.
I really don't want to.
No, Barbara said forcefully.
Let's get everything out in the open and talk it all out now, Steve.
We don't want for something to come at us out of nowhere 10 years from now just because you didn't want to rock the boat now. Her expression softened.
Whatever you need to know, okay, Steve?
Barbara said.
All right,
Steve said slowly.
I've got a handle on pretty much all of it.
I understand how you were vulnerable and everything a couple of times in your life. I accept it hurts and I don't completely understand it, but I accept that you felt you couldn't come to me with your doubts and all. I think I need to talk more about that in the future, if it's all right with everyone.
Barbara nodded.
But I think that what bothers me most after the shock of you becoming involved with those two men after we got married, the thing that bothers me most is just when did you decide that it was okay to do that, Barbara? How did something you knew to be completely wrong turn into something that was okay? I just don't understand how that can happen, Barb, honey. Are you forgetting about that brown before we got married?
Barbara asked. The question took Steve by surprise. His eyes lost their focus while he thought.
No, I'm not forgetting about him, Steve said finally.
That was before we were married. You've convinced me weeks ago. You convinced me you really were in the process of telling him goodbye. You broke a date you had with me. You lied about what you were going to be doing and where you'd be, but we hadn't taken any vows. I dumped you. We didn't see each other for 6 months and that was enough. That's over with. I don't put that Brown in the same category as Jimmy Roberts and Raphael Porter. I just used him that time to count up all my grievances, you might say.
Barbara nodded decisively.
Thank you,
she said.
She blew out her breath and smiled tentatively at her husband. I figured he wasn't still a part of this. I was sure I knew it was Jimmy and Rafe that were still bothering you, she said.
She paused to gather her thoughts.
First off, I never decided to get involved with anyone else. I never wanted to do anything. Darn, it's still hard to talk about it.
Yes, I didn't know it was wrong, but I never let myself think about what it might doubt what it would cost me. I never thought about any consequences. It was all about getting a quick fix of emotional support for whatever was bothering me at that moment. Why I needed it, and couldn't see you were there to give it to me bothers me every time I think about it. She took Steve's hand in hers. She felt free to do that these days. Steve didn't protest or pull away. They were solving a problem together. There wasn't any one moment where I decided to cheat on you, Barbara said slowly. She'd had to brace herself up before using the word that described what she'd done. It was never going to be easy using it. She hated it. It was months in coming to that end, she said quietly. It was a little bit at a time, 100 tiny steps in a direction I didn't know I was going. There was a time when I figured out I was doing something wrong, but my thinking wasn't at all clear by then. Everything was so mixed up. I had been confused and lost for a year or so, and I let things slip away from me really badly, especially after my miscarriage. I let other men flatter me, tell me I was still beautiful, desirable, smart, whatever, you name, and Jimmy Roberts and Raphael Porter took care of what I needed emotionally for a time. You stopped Jimmy cold before I could make a worse mistake than just listening to him. I just wish you could have with Rafe too. I've already told you I didn't hear you when you were telling me all those things too. I was wrong, baby. I was stupid and didn't hear you. I thought, for some crazy reason, that you were only saying those things to me because you had to, and I don't have any idea why I thought that. And I think I was more immature than either of us realized, Steve. I felt insecure, and I was lazy. I didn't even know I had to work on our relationship. I thought. Happily ever after. Just happened because two people loved each other. When we had our first fight, I was devastated. I was shocked so bad, I didn't know who to talk to or what to say. All I saw growing up was Mom and Dad getting along great all of the time. I never saw them fuss or fight. I thought that was normal. I know now they hid their arguments from me and Kimberly, but that came too late to help me. I didn't know how to get beyond an argument and keep on working to make a marriage. Barbara searched Steve's eyes for understanding. He might not totally accept everything she had to say, but she hoped he would identify enough with what she was telling him to give her the benefit of the doubt. She took a deep breath. Can we go back for a second? I forgot something. You're really wondering if there was a point where I decided to do something, even though I knew what I was about to do was wrong. You wondered how I made a decision to do it anyway, she said. Steve nodded encouragingly. He almost wished he hadn't started this dialogue. He wasn't sure it was going to turn out very well at all. Remember the stoplight? Barbara asked him. For a moment, Steve had no idea what she was talking about. Then it came to him. It had been 6 years and more. The stoplight? Mr. Houston asked. He'd been following everything Barbara said. Much of what she said was typical of wives who strayed from their marriages. Most of them talked about being confused, a feeling of isolation, and a lack of any consideration about consequences. Few of them understood how they could have fallen into the behavioral patterns they had. Barbara had made it a point to delve deeper than most women would or could. Stoplights had never come up before, though. This was unique. It was when we were still dating, Barbara said, partially facing the counselor. Steve was driving and two other couples were going with us somewhere. State park. Steve grunted. Yeah. Barbara agreed. We were going out to a state park for a picnic on this little country road. Out in the middle of nowhere, there was this intersection in one of those small towns. It was nothing more than a wide spot in the road, but it had a stoplight. It was red for us going in the direction we were, so Steve pulled up and stopped. Then he just got off the brake, put his foot on the accelerator, and off we went. We all looked around for one of those constables they have out in those small towns or a deputy sheriff or something, but we were lucky. She smiled at her husband. The thing is, IT was so unlike Steve. He's such a careful driver when there are others in the car with him. He was the only guy in our crowd who obeyed the speed limits and came to a full stop and stuff like that. He always said when I was in the car with him, he felt like he had a lot of responsibility and wouldn't risk me getting hurt. I thought it was wonderful the way he said it, Barbara remarked. She smiled at her husband. Anyway, when we all got quiet, Steve asked us what was going on, like he didn't know what he'd just done. Barbara paused for a couple of beats. When we told him, he was surprised and then dismayed. After a while, we could all tell he was really shook up about it. He hadn't realized what he'd done. It wasn't so much that he'd run a red light, though he usually wouldn't do that. It was the fact that he didn't have any memory of considering whether to do it or not. She turned back to Steve. Sweetheart, you remember how you felt that day, right?
Steve nodded. He rested the back of his head on the chair's backrest and blew out his breath. He could see where Barbara was headed. He needed to examine the analogy his wife had proposed. He had get things straight in his mind.
There was no thought process that I was aware of, Steve said at length. I do not remember dot, and I didn't back then when y'all started kidding me about it dot. I don't recall thinking about whether I should go through the red light or not.
He paused. I tried to rationalize it when y'all got on me.
Steve mused. I said I must have subconsciously recognized there was no cross traffic at all and that it would be okay for me to drive on, but I don't know.
He mulled it over for a long moment.
Okay. Steve heaved a sigh. I see your point. I'm not real sure I like it, but I can't help but see what you're saying. People don't always reason their way through what they're doing. Sometimes they never see what they're doing. They just do it, and well, shit.
He said tiredly.
It offends my sense of dot symmetry, I guess. Steve said. I'd feel more comfortable with believing there is a thought process that goes along with every action a person takes. But I'm a good example that isn't always that case. I ran the darn light without a second thought. No thinking about whether it was right, wrong, or indifferent. There's just no getting around it.
Steve sat up and looked directly at his wife.
There's something else about that, though. He said firmly. I've never accidentally rolled through another red light. Not once. The memory of that afternoon comes back to me almost every time I come up to a stoplight and I'm driving the front car in a line of traffic. I keep that memory close to me so I never make that mistake again.
Barb, there can't be another time like this for us. If you want to keep on with this analogy, you better never forget the damage you can do when you aren't paying attention to.
There's only room for two people in this marriage. I won't accept a third person, Barbara.
Never.
And I won't go through this again, Barbara. His wife squeezed his hand tighter. Her eyes were brimming with tears.
I know, honey. She said. Every time I think of what I've done with Jimmy and Rafe, I get sick to my stomach. I loathe the Barbara that did those things. I won't ever let the memory go, Steve. It'll always be there, waiting for me to make sure I never get off the straight and narrow ever again.
Steve watched her face for a time. Not that long ago, Barbara had had sex with him when she had every reason to believe he had AIDS and that the sex would eventually kill her. With that act, Barbara had expressed a deep love he not believed she held for him. It had gone a long way toward breaking down the barriers between them. Now she was assuring him just thinking of what she'd done with the other men made her sick. To make sure she'd never stray again, she was going to keep the hurtful memories alive.
Steve sighed. He was doing a lot of that this evening.
All right. Steve said.
I can let it go, Barbara. I'm not the brightest guy in the world, but I can recognize logic when it smacks me in the face.
He sat up in his chair and turned to contemplate his wife for a long moment. He turned to Mr. Houston.
So Dot, would you say I've worked my way through all those steps in the grieving process you talked about that time?
Steve asked the counselor. Vern was taken aback. He had to think for a moment before remembering the individual counseling session he'd had with Steve.
He smiled. I think you have, yes, Steve, Dot, and done it quite well too.
Mr. Houston remarked.
So Dot, we start on the smaller problems now?
Steve asked. What's up first?
Hi. Barbara said shortly.
Hi, honey. Steve replied. He held the cell phone tighter against his ear so the racket from the building construction outside wouldn't drown out the conversation.
What's up?
He asked. Are you alone? Barbara asked.
Uh-huh. Steve replied. Lois and Jeff are at lunch and picking up some reports at the downtown office and good.
Barbara said. Is the door locked?
What?
Steve asked. He was more than a little bewildered already by the strange conversation.
UH.NO, it's not locked, honey.
Why did you ask me that? There was a short silence.
Well, no one can see your laptop screen from the door dot or the windows, right?
Barbara had ignored his question. Steve was completely mystified now.
Well, if I pull the blinds on the windows right beside me dot yeah.
He answered. Would you pull them, honey?
Barbara asked.
Steve started to ask why, but he thought better of it immediately. Sighing, he got to his feet and closed both blinds.
Okay, honey, they're closed.
Now what's this all about, baby?
You'll find out in just a minute, lover.
Barbara said. Steve could hear a note of nervousness in her voice. He wondered what was going on.
Steve, you remember June, right?
And her nephew, the computer guy.
Sure.
Steve replied.
He did. June was Barbara's best friend at work. She'd been her only friend for a long time after Steve had exposed Barbara's affair to the whole office.
Wendell, June's nephew, was a poster boy for nerds everywhere.
Well, they came over this morning.
Barbara said. She was definitely a little nervous now. Steve could hear it plainly.
Okay. Steve said when Barbara didn't continue.
On the other end of the line, Barbara sucked in a deep breath and let it out explosively.
Well, Wendell helped me set up a web camera.
Barbara explained. She couldn't see it, but Steve was scowling. He had no idea why his wife would want to have a webcam in their home.
Honey, are you still there?
She asked anxiously.
Oh, sorry, sweetheart, dot just trying to process everything.
Steve told her.
Okay.
She said.
Honey, can you put in our IP into Netscape dot and dot a dot use port number 11547 dot okay?
I dot sure dot give me a sec. Steve answered. He was intrigued now. Was Barbara getting into a new hobby?
Okay, it's coming up dot the firewall is stopping dot okay, I've allowed the connection dot damn.
Steve glanced around quickly, making certain the Venetian blinds were shut tight. He could see the streaming video now.
Barbara was there in the study just off the living room. He could see her clearly. His wife was dressed in a pair of stiletto high heels, sheer black thigh highs, and nothing else. She was holding her cell phone to her left ear.
"Barbara?" he said in a strangled voice.
"What are you doing, honey? You like?" Barbara said in a pleased tone. Steve could see her grinning broadly. She waved at the camera.
"Oh God, you know I do," Steve responded. "Barb, did you just forget to tell me that June and Wendell weren't there anymore or?"
Barbara laughed.
"They're gone, silly," she said.
"I see," Steve replied in a distracted voice. He enlarged the viewing screen so he could see more detail, then made it smaller until he got the best picture. His heart was beating faster now. His lungs were working overtime.
"Steve," Barbara asked, "are you still there, honey?"
"Yeah, wait just a minute," he said abruptly. "I gotta go lock the door." He could hear his wife giggling as he put the cell phone down and jogged to the door to lock it securely.
"I'm back," he said into the cell phone.
"Oh, good," Barbara cooed. "Want to see something cool?" she asked coyly.
"I already see something cool,"
Steve shot back. Barbara giggled again.
"I mean something better," she said.
"Sure," Steve replied.
"Barbara, are you starting some kind of sex website or something?"
She looked around to the camera.
"Only for you, lover," she said.
"Only for you.
Just checking," Steve remarked.
His wife smiled into the camera lens, then remembered what she'd started to do. She turned around and spread her legs wide. Twisting at the waist, she pointed the remote control at the camera and glanced to her side at the small TV they kept in the study. She zoomed in until the view was tight on her ass. Her hand was visible briefly as she put her cell phone on the floor. She bent over slowly, adjusted the camera angle down a trifle, and then bent forward even more.
"Sinuva."
Steve couldn't complete what he'd intended to say. It was superfluous anyway. Barbara's newly freed hand had reappeared with a flesh-colored dildo Barbara pushed against her obviously wet pussy. Steve gulped as Barbara worked the dildo's head in a half inch or so inside her outer labia. She slid the head up to the top of her slit, and then back down several times. Finally, she pressed the dildo head gently inside her and pushed it deeper and deeper until a third of it had disappeared.
"Honey?"
Barbara said.
"Honey?"
The phone had to be in her other hand. Steve wondered how she was balancing all bent over like that.
"Yes," Steve answered hoarsely.
"I'm here, Barbie."
"Steve, how long does it take for you to get from the building site to here?"
she asked seductively.
"I'll let you know,"
Steve answered. He stood, kicking his chair back. He grabbed his jacket and headed for the door with the phone still at his ear.
"Steve, honey," Barbara said. "Did you remember to turn off your computer?"
"Oh, right," Steve answered, reversing course before he reached the door. He snapped the lid of the laptop down, disconnected the AC power cord, and jogged for the outside door with it under his arm. Barbara kept up a running commentary on what she was doing with the dildo while he drove home. He left off braking until the last possible moment, letting the tires squeal loudly when he finally did while yanking the steering wheel hard to the left. Still carrying a lot of momentum, he had to stomp on the brakes to keep from smashing into the garage door. He was out of the car and muscling his way through the unlocked door in seconds. Barbara was kneeling on a throw pillow in the foyer just inside the door, still clad only in thigh-high stockings and tall high heels. She was blushing but holding her head high. Her hands kept wanting to cover some part of her body, but she steadfastly refused to let them. She wanted to be completely exposed for her husband's pleasure.
"Damn, Barbara," he breathed. "You're so damned beautiful," he said.
"Sexy?" Barb asked.
"Oh God, yes," Steve answered feverishly. "I've never dot your dot damn."
His words tumbled over themselves as they poured from his mouth.
"Come here, big boy,"
she said seductively, crooking a finger at him. Steve lost no time pushing the door closed and shuffling forward. Barbara smiled up at him while she unzipped his pants. She slid a hand inside his boxers and deftly slipped his hardening cock out. Bending forward, she kissed the head and then the tip. Holding the shaft in her right hand, she cupped his balls with her left. A few strokes of her hand and she had him hard as a rock. She kissed the head once more, pausing there to run her tongue around the mushroom-shaped tip, wetting it with her saliva. Steve sucked in a deep gulp of air while he enjoyed the sensations created by the touch of his wife's mouth on his organ. His pleasure was multiplied many times over by being able to watch what she was doing. It was usually dark when Barb would. When her smiling eyes caught his cock jumped between her lips. He couldn't believe how erotic it was for his wife to want him to watch her make love to his penis.
"Why dot how come dot ah hell?" Steve said.
"How come your dot high?
We did this on our honeymoon,"
Barbara reminded him, letting her husband's prick slide out of her mouth for a moment.
"But,"
Steve protested.
"And it's not too late to start doing it again dot is it?"
Barbara asked gently.
"Oh hell no,"
Steve shot back. Barbara grinned and took him in her mouth again. This time, she rose slightly on her knees and adjusted the angle of her head. When she was ready, she let Steve's cock slide as deeply into her mouth as she could take. She stopped, rested for a few seconds while she licked the underside of his glands. When her throat muscles relaxed, she took a deep breath through her nose and pressed her mouth slowly down over his cock. This time, she refused to stop until her nose was pressed deep into his pubic hair. She breathed deep again, taking in her husband's scent. She let his cock slide out bit by bit until she could breathe properly again. She began bobbing her head up and down over Steve's cock, sometimes working it deeper into her throat, sometimes holding it her mouth and slathering her tongue around the head. She disdained jacking her hand up and down the shaft. Her hand was on it only to steady it. Her other fondled his balls gently. She wanted this to last. He liked this, she remembered. She used to do it all the time. She realized she loved doing it for him. A brief regret skittered through her mind. She wondered why she'd ever let these pleasures slip out of their lives. Pulling back, Barbara examined her husband's erect penis. It was hard and as long as she'd ever seen it. Her man was ready. Grinning, she extended her hand. When Steve took it in his, she pulled herself up. Reversing her grip, she stroked his cock slowly while she offered her lips to Steve's. They kissed. His tongue slipped between her lips, demanding entry rather than coaxing permission. Hers flicked back at his. Their tongues dueled for long moments, twining about each other and falling away only to come back for more. They broke apart, needing to breathe more deeply as their excitement increased. "Come here," Barbara said urgently. She pulled him further into the living room, tugging him along by his cock. They had to move slowly, getting into step to avoid losing contact. They laughed with each difficulty overcome, enjoying the play after so long a drought. When she reached the couch, she stood on tiptoes to kiss Steve deeply again. She let his penis fall from her hand so she could throw her arms around her husband's neck. Steve held her tight, letting his hands drop to Barbara's butt and squeezing each cheek. He kneaded them gently, then more insistently as he pulled her lower body against his.
"When we were on our honeymoon," Barbara said breathlessly. "You remember when we came in from the beach and we were in a hurry to make love, and I stumbled and wound up on the sofa?"
"Oh, yeah," Steve replied. "You had your hands on the back and your knees on the cushions, and I want you to do that to me again," Barbara said, interrupting Steve's recollection.
"Now."
Barbara turned around and dropped her knees on the seat cushion. Leaning forward, she rested her elbows on the backrest. She thrust out her ass and leaned her head on her arms to increase the effect. Twisting around to look at him, Barbara wiggled her butt to entice her husband into action. She grinned.
"See anything you like, honey?" she asked.
Entranced by the view, Steve didn't move for a long moment. Then he bent at the waist and untied his shoes without sitting. Kicking them off his feet, he yanked his belt buckle loose. He shoved his pants down to his ankles and stepped out of them. His jacket flew across the room and his shirt quickly followed. He debated removing his socks. He felt funny with just them on. Bending over again, he slipped a forefinger in the top of each one and pushed them down. He had them off in a couple of seconds. When he was ready, he stepped up behind his wife. Looking back, Barbara spread her knees a trifle to lower her body slightly. Steve took his cock in his hand and pushed the head of his cock against Barbara's pussy.
"Barbara," he said hesitantly. "Are you ready? Do you want me to use?"
Barbara shook her head.
"I've been so wet I kept having to towel myself off every once in a while until you got here," she said. "I want you to do me now, darling. Take me hard and fast, okay?"
Steve nodded. Moving forward half a step, he withdrew and then probed Barbara's outer lips with his cock. Finding the precise angle, he drove his penis inside his wife's cunt with one strong thrust. Barbara gasped. She pushed back at Steve, wanting him in still deeper. He obliged, driving in hard and grinding his groin against her ass. They groaned. Steve's cock was penetrating into a hot wetness. His wife's vagina closed about him, enfolding his penis like a wet, silky, smooth glove as he thrust and withdrew. The room was filled with the musky smell of sex. The slapping of flesh against naked flesh was loud. Their gasps as each new sensation hit them were the only other sounds. He bent forward and swept his hands from Barbara's neck down the whole length of her back. He repeated the move when Barbara hissed her appreciation. Abandoning her back, his hands slipped under her body to fondle her dangling breasts. They were dancing in time to the shocks of his cock slamming into his wife's steaming cunt. He squeezed Barbara's breasts carefully, finding their nipples with each thumb and rubbing gently to make the blood-engorged nipples even more erect than they already were. Barbara groaned. She pushed her ass back at her husband, demanding more contact and harder thrusts inside her. Steve obliged, ramming his cock deeper. He felt the tip of his cock bump against Barbara's cervix. Another nudge, one more, and it retracted. Barbara moaned, but there was no pain now. She wasn't aware of the moans. She simply couldn't keep quiet. Her husband felt too good inside her. Steve began to drive his cock into his wife's cunt harder, slamming it in without mercy. He sped up his pace and Barbara matched every increase. They were rutting animals. There was no art to what they were doing. This wasn't making love. They were straining hard, using each other's body to gain their own release. He brought his hands back up, clamping them to Barbara's hips and using them to hold her in place while he plowed into her cunt. They ground themselves against the other, withdrawing, only to mash together in the next instant. The intensity was too much to last long. In moments, Steve could feel the hot semen begin to rise from his groin. The searing flow, emanating from his scrotum and steadily moving higher, demanded his attention. He couldn't last much longer.
"Barb, honey," he said desperately.
"Me too,"
Barbara gasped.
She remembered something she'd wanted to do.
"Fuck me, Steve," she cried. "Fuck me hard, honey."
Spurred by his wife's unexpected encouragement, Steve embedded his cock deep in Barbara's cunt over and over again. He plunged in and out faster and faster, his buttock muscles flexing tightly ever more strongly as he drove his wife and himself toward a mutual orgasm. Suddenly it there. Steve tried to hold off a moment longer. He wanted to slam his cock into Barbara's wet pussy just a few more times, but it was useless. He couldn't stave off the rising magma of his cum. The first eruption of milky white cream spurted out. She could feel the hot, sticky fluid as it splashed against the walls of her vagina. It took her over the threshold, and her own climax could no longer be kept at bay. He could feel the hot wetness in his scrotum work its way from his balls through his groin and up the shaft of his cock. Steve grunted when his second shot of sperm-laden jism sprayed out. When it gushed, it was almost painful in its power. He withdrew as much as he could. Barbara's cunt muscles were clamped tight around his cock. They wouldn't let him pull out too far. He thrust in again, rubbing the sensitive underside of his cock against the front wall of Barbara's vagina. The contact with her G-spot sent Barbara into a more enhanced orgasm. Her juices boiled over and began to flow. She screamed. She didn't know what was happening at first. This hadn't happened to her in so long. It was too much pleasure. She screamed again. The surge of Barbara's fluids pushed Steve higher too. He pulled back and rammed his cock back inside. A third jet of white hot cum exploded out of the slit and the end of his prick. A fourth followed, weaker and much less in volume. He couldn't breathe properly. His body was only just under control. Steve knew only that he had to sink his cock back into his wife's cunt. He plunged it back in and a fifth welling of thin fluid was pumped out of his body. He was empty, there was nothing left. Steve's hands slipped off Barbara's ass cheeks. He slumped forward, his chest touching her back for the first time. Barbara's leg and arm muscles gave way at almost the same moment. Steve barely had the strength to roll to the side so he wouldn't suffocate his wife. They lay there, holding each other tightly and gasping for breath while they tried to recover. "Honey," Steve whispered at last. "I don't know what brought that on, but you can do it again anytime you want to, okay?" Barbara chuckled. It was a short giggle. She didn't have the breath to spare. "We will," she assured him between pants. "But there's a bunch of things we used to do, you know," she said. "We need to do those lots again. We should never have stopped, honey." "No argument here," Steve said. "What else do you want to do?" he asked. "Well," Barbara said slowly, "I've heard some people kind of baptize every room in their house by having sex somewhere there."
"Uh-huh," Steve said encouragingly.
"Yeah," Barbara replied. "I think we're behind on that. We've got 3-4 rooms we haven't done it in yet," she said thoughtfully. "Well, we can take care of one or two of those today if you want," Steve offered.
"Uh-huh,"
Barbara said.
"And we can try a lot of new ways too. Okay.
"Sounds good to me," Steve answered.
"And honey, I don't know. Well, I found these little things that go in my eye and my backside and they help open
a butt plug?" Steve asked incredulously.
"Yeah,"
Barbara said hesitantly.
"Are you mad at me, honey?"
she asked anxiously.
"Good God, no,"
he said fervently.
"Cool,"
Barbara said with satisfaction.
"I can't do that yet," she confided. "I'm still not ready to take something as big as your thing in me back there, but I'm working on it so we can do that too, and we can do all kinds of positions, and do it outside, and when we go camping, and lots of other things, and well, I don't have much vacation time built up, but I can take off sometimes anyway so I can do webcam stuff for you when you're at work, and—"
Steve laughed.
"Sweetheart," he told her gently. "We can't do it all in one day, and we've got the whole rest of our lives, okay?"
"Okay," Barbara agreed happily. She snuggled closer and kissed the husband she'd almost lost. They were quiet for a long while before Barbara put her mouth next to Steve's ear. He felt her hot breath on his cheek.
"But if you had to choose, what would you want to do first?"
she asked softly. Epilogue: Steve Curtis sat on the back deck and watched the sun fall toward the western horizon. He was well satisfied with his life. He had 18 months seniority in his new job and his voice was beginning to be heard in the boardroom downtown. His marriage was back on track and life was pretty darn good, everything considered. The fall was well advanced. The forecasters said there would be frost in the hill country over the weekend. It was cool right now, but not terribly so. He could hear Barbara humming happily in the kitchen behind him. She'd decided a glass of hot chocolate would be just the thing to end the day with. They'd been 2 years and more getting here. It hadn't been easy. Steve had fought a tooth and nail for a long time. If his firm hadn't effectively forced him to go with Barbara to counseling, they wouldn't have made it. Steve chuckled at the memory. At the last 4th of July picnic, he and Barbara had come upon Barbara's grandmother sitting at a table with the CEO and CFO of the firm where Steve worked and their wives. Astonished, Steve had said he hadn't even known Lydia was acquainted with them. The group had laughed. Lydia told him she'd known these two men and their wives since they were all toddlers sharing the same toys in a sandbox. Steve had suddenly understood how and why the firm's policy on married senior personnel had been abruptly changed when he and Barbara had been on the outs. He'd looked accusingly at Lydia. She hadn't tried to deny it. Laughing, she'd invited him to sue her. He vowed to pay her back. She said she hoped he'd never have to. All he could do was demand she stand up for a long embrace. Hell, the counseling had been what kept Barbara and him in each other's world for a long time. He saw it as a good thing now. He thought the opposite at the time. They'd worked their way through most of the impacts on Steve resulting from Barbara's straying in the weekly counseling sessions. Mr. Houston had taught them techniques to make sure the communication between them wouldn't falter again, and then mediated between them as they resolved problems that had existed before the adultery and were still there. They'd resolved the issue about a lack of physical intimacy pretty much by themselves. Barbara had rediscovered an enthusiastic sexuality within herself to match Steve's, and they soon found themselves with an active and exciting sex life. Other problems were more difficult. They'd had to deal with Barbara's professed insecurity in dealing with a very confident husband who always seemed to know where he was going in his life, how he was going to get there, and what he was going to do when he did get there. But dealing with the consequences of her own adultery forced Barbara to do considerable growing up, and that growth helped her own confidence level enormously. In the end, the insecurity had been a largely self-resolving issue. Actually, once the catastrophic problems surrounding Barbara's infidelity were resolved, the smaller ones became imminently solvable. It just took time. They worked hard on the marriage these days. They refused to take each other for granted. Barbara put two steaming cups onto the patio table beside Steve and gracefully inserted herself into his arms and upon his lap. He hugged her tightly. She snuggled close and kissed him.
"Darling," Barbara said quietly. "The back room where you've got all the camping gear and stuff."
"Hmm? I think we should clear all that out," she said.
"And put it out in the garage or somewhere. What do you think?"
Steve thought for a moment. There was no overriding reason the equipment was in the back bedroom. There was plenty of storage space in the garage, and it might even be more logical to have the stuff out there. Easier to load into the pickup, for instance.
"Okay," he agreed. "I'll get it done this weekend."
He tested the temperature of his hot chocolate and decided it needed a bit more cooling.
"What do you want to do with the room?"
he asked casually. The sparse clouds were backlit quite prettily by the setting sun. He wondered vaguely if he should go get his camera.
"Well, we can use it for a bedroom, like it was intended," Barbara told him.
She liked her drinks hotter than Steve did. She took a quick sip.
"Okay," Steve said, still watching the sunset. "We're going to need the extra space for a nursery," Barbara said carefully.
She took another swallow. Distracted, it took Steve a second to absorb what his wife had said.
"What? In about 7.5 months,
Barbara concluded.
"So you've got lots of time to clear it out."
"Oh my God," Steve whispered.
"Are you happy?"
Barbara asked. There was only a trace of uncertainty in her voice. Steve wrapped his arms tighter around his wife. He searched out her lips with his and let that be his answer. They didn't notice the sun had set until long after dusk faded into night. The end. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. Please visit our other podcasts. Their links are in the description of this episode. Both the Erotica Podcast and the Erotica Taboo Podcast offer $2 subscriptions with bonus episodes.